welcome to another exciting broadcast day.
Yes, it is. 866-901-ADAM, 866-901-ADAM. What's happening, Teresa and Dave?
You know, I like to be called Sugar Teats, if you could.
Yeah, I think we should just modify the shorter version of Teats, which there's a few things I've decided in my own mind that I could win if I had enough time and a few money. One is saying the modified version of Teats on the air, because I just don't think there's a court in the land that could tell me that that was inherently more offensive than bazongas or jugs or golden
boobies.
Globes.
Boobies!
Or boobies or knockers or any of the modified words. Right, it just goes on and on and on, but this one is no good. And this one is the only one that is a modification, essentially, of an actual word, which is teat. But for some reason, that's not allowed. I think it's because it was on George Carlin's Seven Dirty Words, whatever. And there also was a time, I used to say it all the time on K-Rock, because I was like, listen, I'm going to say it just like I'm going to say God damn it, because you used not be able to say God damn it. And then you stopped me, and no one ever really did, because it's hard to present a logical argument as to why you can't say the one and you can say everything else.
So, but Janet Jackson's exposure of her right one.
Right.
Is what damned this.
It blurt. You can't do that. It's an animal. It's a real animal in God's call.
What if it was called an F-mouse, though? You know what I mean?
I suppose.
How can that be blurred?
It's so nature, man.
It's been edited out, but it's breast mouse is a real...
Breast mouse.
Or teat mouse. Yeah.
Is a real animal.
Yeah, we'll just use teat when it... instead of the other word, the shorter word, when we have to, of course.
Take it up with Darwin.
Everyone talking about Mel Gibson. And we have Mel Gibson talk coming up as well. But some other stories that got skated over, like Fidel Castro. First time he's relinquished his power, I guess, in 50-something years or however long it's been.
47.
It's amazing how many... I was sitting around trying to think the American presidents he survived or the administrations he's gone through. Kennedy, Ford,
they say 10,
Carter,
10 U.S.
Reagan.
Presidents.
Yeah, it just keeps going and going. And some of them, you know, it's not 4 years and out. Some of them's 8 years and out. But yet, he still goes. But... here's the thing about Fidel, and I'm sure he's insane because Dr. Drew said he had an audience with him at some point.
For what reason?
It's bizarre.
Did Dr. Drew Pinsky sit down with...
Was he concerned about vaginosis?
He told me not to tell you guys. I'll tell you off the air.
Okay.
No, he went on... There are these things every once in a while where they take... interesting people, and they put them on a cruise ship, and they let them go mince around, and that's how the rich get richer kind of things. There's stuff that you don't know about going on out there. Like, once in a while, you'll hear some story about how, I don't know, whoever the guy runs Microsoft, what the hell's
Bill
his
Gates.
Name? Bill Gates. You know, John Stewart's a friend of mine. Not a bosom buddy, because... truly funny comedians can't have real friends. They can only have people that are sort of around them.
How about you?
They're weird. I'm not that funny.
Sing. I know. I know. Just sing, Juba. Good.
I said,
friends.
Should have never let you off the probationary period. The thing is that once in a while, some guy like Bill Gates will get together all the people he likes from TV and other places and put them on a boat and pay for a cruise. You know, but he'll charter out some huge cruise ship, and everyone's going to Alaska, and it's not going to be, you know, playing shuffleboard and pinochle down below. We're doing things you only dreamt of, and we'll just do it for free. And Bill Gates gets to go hang out with John Stewart, who he enjoys, and John Stewart gets to go on something that would cost him $75,000 for free, and then he gets to stand next to Rob Reiner out on the Lido deck. All kinds of weird little quiet stuff that kind of goes on. that I don't really get included on.
Yeah, there are
on.
Those things. Do you know about those? They're the, I don't know if they're secret societies, but the rich and powerful get together for these retreats every year. In the, you know, there's a conservative
one. Lido Shuffle? Yes, thank
there's
you.
There's one in Europe. Every year they do these annual get-togethers of the richest, most powerful people.
Well, they put, retreats. Sorry, Teresa, but I was trying to get back to
I was just
going to
ask you what
I got me
happened?
Off the point. I don't know. There's some, like, you know, great minds that get on a boat and they pack your kids up. And they went through the Panama Canal and somehow they ended up in Cuba. And then they met Fidel Castro. Not Dr. Drew and Fidel Castro, but, you know, 100 other guys like Dr. Drew and Fidel Castro. And Drew just said, and this about 4 or 5 years ago, all he did was talk about baseball for about 3 hours. And what a great baseball player he was. And people were just out of their mind, bored. But what are you going to do? All right, Fidel. What about that? Ooh, what time is it? Geez, with the time difference, like 8:30 where we're from. So,
Dr. You know. Drew was not a fan of Fidel?
He wasn't a fan of his brand of speaking.
Monology.
Yes, he went on way too long about his playing days. But it's clear that the guy's a nutty old coot, and it'd be nice if he died. And I always use them as an example. People are in Little Havana out cheering in the streets,
oh,
hoping the guy's
gosh,
dead.
He looks
it's great.
So happy.
Here's my example of why our country is not evil, or at least nearly as evil as other people describe it all the time. Imagine if the circumstances were different. I mean, imagine if we were just some little island that were just floating around in the middle of the ocean and there was nothing to protect us but our big older brother. He was a badass. Soviet Union. You couldn't F with us. We could say whatever we wanted. We could put some missiles on our soil. We could do whatever we wanted. We could have shouting matches with you, mainland United States, 90 miles away. We could do whatever we wanted because we had our big brother to come back us. He had our back. You couldn't set foot on us. He would clobber you. Well, That regime folded, and now no more big brother. So now we're like in a high school, and our big brother, he graduated, or he got taken off to juvie. Now we're just flow. Our big brother, now we used to walk around wearing his Letterman jacket. Of course, the sleeves went past our hands, and we would just walk up to you big jocks, and we'd punch you right in the nuts, and we'd talk smack to you, but you could never lay a hand on us, because I had my big brother, Kurt, always roaming the halls, and you knew we'd put the smack down on you. Now, he's been carted off to juvie. Now I'm just walking around the halls with a bunch of jocks, so I formally punch in the nuts. We should crush them! We should crush him, and it's the first thing they would do if it was the other way around. Could you imagine if Cuba was the United States and we were Cuba? Oh, they just say, "Look, let's see, we're gonna put a landing strip there and a Cinnabon. Clear out. We give 24 hours. You jump in the water. You can't come here, but we'll just be turning your entire island to a casino and a parking lot." They would admit, we don't do anything. How can people say that we're as evil as they say we are when we should? The second the Soviet Union fell, we should just crush them. I mean, we could crush them tomorrow. We could crush them this afternoon. Would be no big deal at all. Yet we let them exist. We try to do things through diplomacy, and we hope that their leader, who's seen 180 of our presidents go into the ground, dies of natural causes. What other country would do that to a former hated country? There's no other country that would do that.
Very true. And, you know, first of all, I never have considered that. And we would have much more valuable real estate on our hands than that crappy sandlot we have in Iraq now.
Yes, yeah, so
let's
go.
Worth nothing.
Let's go get them.
Cuba, we'd have beachfront
property. And the people want it and all that kind of stuff. And by the way, the people. Lebanon with their Hezbollah. Everywhere the people are great. You know, Iraq, the people are great. They just let Saddam take over for 25, 30 years. Everyone's great. All the people are great. Hey, if you're great, you rise up against evil. That's what you do. That's how you mark yourself as a great people. You don't sit around while they run your country into the ground. So maybe you're not so great. Maybe the people aren't great. Or maybe we should just downgrade them to good. At a certain point, they let this guy run their country for 50 years. How great can they be?
It makes you wonder about Castro when you just see the joie with which the, in Little Havana in Miami, these Cuban exiles couldn't be happier. They're dancing on cars,
right,
and they're cheering, and they're so happy that Castro's having the intestinal surgery.
Yeah.
I hate that guy.
I'm just, I've had an ass full of communism. I got to tell you, I don't even know if they're officially, are they officially call themselves communists, or do they have another euphemistic title?
I think they're old school communists.
Yeah, the one good thing they say is that the literacy rate in Cuba is very high, even though it's a very impoverished country. Everyone can read.
Mm-hmm. Well, he's got a lot of propaganda to hand out
right.
by the fourth grade.
I think it's cute that he likes baseball and played baseball.
Yeah, he was a player. He's a great man. Supposedly a pretty good player.
Well, just ask Drew.
I'll tell you what I've had enough of.
Yeah.
I've had enough of my house is overrun by teat mice.
Is it?
No. I want to know why I can't say it. It's in the dictionary. Yeah,
I think you just got away with it.
Merriam-Webster.
No, that was, he said teat.
They're awsine birds that are related to chickadees.
Yes, they have rusty flanks.
Yes, they're small insect-eating birds. They're listen, what if I say tit for tat? Name of an animal!
Yeah.
Say which one?
That's a sweet tit for tat. Oh.
All right, there you go.
What gives?
It's quite a science. Jennifer? Oh, wait a minute. Try it again. Jennifer? Oh, let's see. Let's get my phone's working. Jennifer.
Yes, I think what we've forgotten is that one thing we were participating in was Operation Condor, where we went down into South America and met with several right-wing juntas and agreed to murder leftists that weren't even communists. Mm-hmm. And Castro stood against that. I don't admire everything he's done in his country.
No.
What I do admire is the fact that he stood up when we took our CIA and involved it in Central America and in South America, and we destroyed stable economies, and now we complain about illegal aliens coming here after we destroyed their economies with war. And Castro has stood up against that. Mm. And that is one thing. I think that he could have done things different. But you know what? He stood up against Bush as one little lonely country without any kind of backing. And no, he doesn't have the Soviet Union. As a matter of fact, they aren't even getting along right now.
Oh, so they don't have. I see. I was way off then. I thought the Soviet Union was still supporting them wholeheartedly.
Remember the whole Big Brother Kurt went off to juvie? No?
No. You're right. By the way, this is what angry, overweight people do. I'm going way down a limb here, Jennifer.
Okay, you are going out on a limb because I'm not angry and I'm not overweight.
Right, but they start to hear any conversation and then they just close their ears and spin it so they can call in and disagree.
No, I didn't spin anything. What I did is I said we all have our sins. I mean, we're trying to look like angels. Well, we did a lot of destruction in South America.
Yeah, I know. Every country has its crosses to bear. I was
mirror. Cuba came up here and did any crosses to bear, so I don't see why we're so angry at Castro.
Cuba, if they thought for one fleeting second that they could do something, they would have done it a long time ago. That was my point.
They could do stuff, and they haven't done it. That's the point. Just like Chavez isn't doing anything.
Let me ask you a question, because you remind me of my own family with this crap. You love it's not really that. It's not that these people love these other countries. They hate this country. I think they kind of hate themselves for living in it. If they had a shred of dignity, they'd move right out of this horrible country. All they do is point out what's wrong with this country and what we could do differently and what we could do better. But let me ask you this.
I have a shred of dignity, and to be honest with you, I do not live in the U.S. most of the time because of this.
Thank Christ.
And I don't live in the U.S. because I don't like what's going on right now. I think
right.
if you involve yourselves in politics and you see...
Where do you live most of the time?
Most of the time I live in Mexico. Oh. I work in the United States, and I also live part-time in the United States.
Great. You're single gal?
No,
I'm not. Yeah, you have a partner?
I am married.
To a woman?
Yeah, no, of course not.
To a man with teats?
I mean, is that your comeback? Because that's ridiculous.
All right, listen.
That is ridiculous.
Jennifer, what do you do in Mexico?
What do I do in Mexico?
Uh-oh,
I ride,
bad.
And I have a nice life, just like in the United States.
Okay, and why come back? Why not just stay in Mexico?
Because I'm a United States citizen.
Mm-hmm. Well, they come over here, no problem. Why don't you just go over there and hang out? That's
well,
the way you'd prefer
there,
it.
No problem, too. There's a lot of United States citizens that do live in Mexico currently.
Right. I'm saying, why come back? You're not so fond of this country. You have your beloved Mexico.
No, I mean, that's...
You
that's
can send in articles to the Weekly from Mexico.
Hyperbole. That's hyperbole.
Right,
hyperbole.
It's hyperbole.
Hyperbole. That's the world's greatest energy drink.
USC
was playing in the hyperbole.
Yes.
I'm complaining about something that I think we should fix, and we're not making any effort to fix it.
What do you want to fix?
George Bush in office.
Well, what do you want to fix?
Strategically.
I would like to see our country go back. I'm a 50-year-old woman, and I remember when we used to have patriotism that meant we were proud of our country, not we were proud to be racist. And, I mean, we have changed this country.
Are you mad at Mel Gibson?
Hold on a second. Wow, it took a whole 2 minutes and 24 seconds before it somehow turned into a racist conversation. Is the race card getting played almost every conversation you have now where you disagree with somebody? I was talking about Cuba, I was talking about Fidel. Yes, they're not the same color as we are, but it never entered into the conversation. Pow, we're right back to racism. How do you figure, how did racism even come up in this conversation?
I'm not sure because I don't think I brought up racism in this conversation. And it's not, I don't think race is a card game. I think that race is nothing to do. I mean, you're talking about a culture. First of all,
Latins
come in all races.
It's not called white jack.
There is no racial bigotry here.
It's not called cracker jack, although that is a delicious snack.
I mean, it's like anti-Semitism. It's really ridiculous in this country, and it's the same thing as other areas. What we have done is we've...
All right, that's enough.
Was that like dinner at the Corollas for
she's
you?
She proved her point. Oh.
In
Canada, they all have good dental plus... Shut up.
How would I know that?
Shut up. Look, here's, I was thinking about... Here's how you know the difference between our system and communism. They tried a little experiment where they took some country, they took some city, they took some capital in Europe. It's called Berlin, and they split it in half. They made the East Berlin, they made the West Berlin. And again, forget about capitalism versus communism. Forget about names. Just call one red and one blue. Two different forms of government, two different strategies, put a line right down the middle. Everybody on the red side was trying to kill themselves tunneling under the barbed wire to get to the blue side, and they would get shot if they tried to climb the fence to get over to their side. Nobody on the blue side had ever made an attempt to go over to the red side unless it was trying to smuggle out a loved one. Do we need to know more than that? Do we need to know more than that? They split the country in half. They split the capital in half, and everyone was dying trying to get to the other side. What else do you need to know? Yeah, I know.
Maybe it is racist. I don't know if it's racist or not, but Cuba does not even have a good enough football team to even get into the Hyper Bowl. So she can say whatever she wants. I don't care. The teat mice of USC would kill them in football in the Hyper Bowl.
By the way, the other point is that if she was actually in Cuba ripping the government like she just did, our own government, they would take her and torture her.
Yes, that's
so,
right.
I mean, people forget that. It's all quick to rip our own government, our own country.
We hate each other here. We hate ourselves. Red?
Hey, how are you, Doc?
You're from Cuba?
Yes.
What do you say?
Oh, man. If she likes it so much, why don't you move over there with Castro and her brother, huh?
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And her or his brother. Yeah, that's right.
One of the things that I like about what she says, she don't live here, but she likes the money. She work over here and travel to Mexico or whatever, you know?
You're from Cuba?
Yes.
And where are you calling from now?
I'm from Fresno right now.
Same place. I don't even know why you left.
Hey, you know why I left? I got a long story to tell you, man. I just got here from Louisiana, and I survived a hurricane because we survived many hurricanes in Cuba, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell you what, if you survive Castro, I survived him for 18 years.
Mm-hmm.
You live anywhere.
How did you get over here?
I was a political prisoner.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
How does that work? So you get persecuted over there, and then you can have asylum over here?
Yes.
All right.
Well, he works.
All right, Red. Jeez. And his accent sounded like we screwed it up over in Louisiana.
Yep.
It sounded a little like Paul Prudhomme. over there meets meets some baseball player from the Dominican. All right, let's take ourselves a little break. We're all over the political map this morning. We're going to take a break. We got P-Rod coming up in the 7 o'clock hour. Who's P-Rod? That's Paul Rodriguez's kid. Well, I guess it is Paul Rodriguez, but he's a junior, I guess. Am I right?
Yeah, but he doesn't like to be called junior, actually.
Likes to be called P-Rod. Anyway, he's a champion skateboarder. I saw him on Inside Sports. We'll talk to him in the 7 o'clock hour. Also, we got some hot chicks from Playboy Television. Coming up, news, sports, all still coming up on the Adam Carolla Show.
866-901-ADAM. 866-901-ADAM. The Adam Carolla Show. A restaurant review with the deaf frat guy.
Today's review, Matsuhisa in Beverly Hills. You're almost certain to see a celebrity at this unassuming Beverly Hills Japanese restaurant. Most are awed by the inspired edible art produced by the Temple of Sushi and Cook Fair. The much-copied miso cod rocks. Poochie said he always takes chicks out for sushi on a first date. And when Poochie talks about how to get girls, I listen. That said, I say, more food, less food. I give it 4 potato, God bless.
I got the, went to a place on Ventura called Terra Sushi, I think it was. It was on Friday or Saturday. First off, few things to talk about. I wasn't planning on talking about sushi, but now it got me going. When you realize how expensive sushi is when you order out. When you go out to eat sushi, you have a couple things of sake, you enjoy yourself, you're there for a few hours. Bill comes to $86 for just you and somebody else, and you're like, all right, well, I'm going out. That's what you pay. When my wife orders the sushi and I go pick it up and it's like $72.45 and it comes in one bag, you realize, holy Christ, this is expensive. And takeout should be cheaper. It should be cheaper for like a sushi place or something, because I got to tell you, paying $60-$70 for a bag for you and another person to eat when you order out sushi, and granted, my wife has got big eyes when she orders off that menu. Small wallet, huge eyes. That's how she's composed. She will order her. I like the big teats and the small ass. My wife's got the big eyes and the small wallet.
Well, she has all of those.
She has all those things. Yeah, it's actually my wallet that's been shrunken. But I pull it out of my pants with tweezers, drop it on it. It's like it's been hit with a ray. Point is you go in there and you're $76. You go out. Now, when you go into a sushi place, all the sushi guys do the hey, you know that thing. There's
that's
eight
nice.
Guys.
Hey,
yeah, yeah, hey, Shidoshi, hey. But I want to wave it off because like I'm just taken out. Hey,
you don't like, no, you don't understand. I'm leaving.
I feel. No. I'm picking up. No. It's 80. No, I'm picking up $80 worth of California roll and some TNT or whatever the hell that one's, dynamite stick or something. No. I feel like it's too much pressure. Like I forgot my keys. No.
All right. I guess I could eat some edamame.
I'll sit.
I'm coming back to complain to the management. No, please.
I left my keys here.
Yeah, that's it's really. I feel like there needs to be a threshold that you cross over when you go into the restaurant part. I just go to the cash register part. I've not entered the restaurant part. You have to cross. There has to be one of those laser eyes that they have at the convenience store that then triggers the guys to do the... Otherwise, it's premature. I'm still standing. I'm standing in the doorway trying to wave it off. And then, of course, everyone's at the bar. They turn their head. Who's this guy? Oh, it's that guy from the man show. What's he waving for? He's trying to get his sushi.
Yeah, most of the time, like at a surprise party, when you walk in and you're not the birthday person, people get upset with you. Like, no, these people, they celebrate the entrance of everyone.
It is funny that arguably one of the most reserved cultures on the planet are the ones that yell the loudest when you walk into the restaurant. You know what I mean? There are other folks that could be considered, you know, Mexicans, they like to party over there, but they don't all scream when you come walking into the restaurant. It's weird. I gotta unravel those Japanese one day to figure out what's really going on with them. A lot of bowing, a lot of guys wearing, you know, ties to barbecues and stuff, and the next thing you know, they're drunk and yelling, thank you very much, when you walk into the restaurant. Okay, enigmas. Jack...
Hi.
Jack Levin is on the phone. Jack Levin, is a professor of sociology and criminology at Northeastern University in Boston. What's up, Jack?
Well, you made me very hungry.
Yeah.
I'm going to go right out now and eat something, but it won't be sushi. I can't eat raw fish.
You know what is weird, though? Things that you can eat cold seem to be easier to eat for breakfast because, you know, eat cereal and toast and stuff like that, but yet never sushi for breakfast. You know what I mean?
Some people are very rigid about what they'll eat for various meals. I don't have that problem. I'll eat almost anything all day long and all night long. So,
but not raw fish.
Not raw fish. I don't like raw things, and I don't like vegetables with too many syllables, like asparagus.
Oh, that's the best one.
Well, if we could shorten the name, I'd like it better.
All right, so you're no fan of broccoflower?
No, I'd probably not eat it, especially not raw.
But you do like peas?
Of course.
All right, Jack. Thank you for calling in. Jack is calling in because he knows about gossip at the workplace. We just got he specializes in culinary conversation as well, but that's his emphasis, not his major. Tell us about yourself, Jack.
Well, actually, this may come as a surprise because I've studied gossip since the 1980s. I've eavesdropped on people to hear what they talk about. I've interviewed gossip columnists. I've studied gossip tabloids and magazines. Over the last several years, I've also studied murder, especially serial murder, mass murder, and some people find that kind of inconsistent.
Mm-hmm.
But I've decided that it makes sense because I don't know whether you've ever heard the expression "killing them with gossip."
No,
I mean there are tribes of people who will cut off your lips for gossiping about the chief.
Mm-hmm.
Gossip is the way that we control people without using the criminal justice system.
Well, give us through shame,
through scorn and ridicule if they're not doing the right thing, and it brings them back into line.
Well, let me ask you a question, because there used to be a time, and we've always gossiped. We didn't always have tabloids and the internet,
right,
but we've always gossiped.
Always.
And I had this sort of theory that there was a time where people would be sort of kept in check through being shamed. If you didn't want the village to find out you were an adulteress or adulterer, there are things like that. Now the lines have become blurry.
That's
Paris
right.
Hilton is famous for doing something that would have made her pariah 50 years ago in this country. Now she's just famous because either you're known or you're not. Do you find that things have changed over the years?
Definitely. You make a really good point. People are now famous because...
Well, that's enough then.
It's
not going to get any better than that. Thank you.
I mean, he's a smart guy, and he thinks you just made a great point.
Say it's enough. Sorry, Jack. Go ahead.
I apologize.
No, that's all right. Keep the compliments coming.
But, you're right. You know, in a small, closed society like a tribe, you can't escape when you're gossiped about it. People scorn you and ridicule you. There's not much you can do about it because you live your entire life there. If you grow up in the United States, by contrast, there's always a place to escape. I mean, it's not easy. If, for example, every year there are physicians who are accused of malpractice, there are lawyers accused of malpractice, and they'll pack their bags and they'll move to California.
Yeah.
And start anew, and nobody even knows.
I understand. Some teacher gets accused of being a pedophile and then just goes to another school district, and next thing you know, he's teaching gym over there and doing the same thing. But in my example of Hilton, she's not moving anywhere. Everyone knows who she is. We're just not judging anymore.
Well, in a way we are. You know, a little dirt doesn't always hurt your reputation.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, it can actually enhance your reputation. If there's something positive about you that people like, if you're credible, if you're competent, you're one of the boys, you're one of the girls. Nobody likes anyone who's perfect, or who thinks he or she is perfect. So, you know, it's not a mudslide. I mean, there is a point at which the gossip becomes so bad about you that you have to respond because it hurts your reputation.
Well, here's speaking of hurt reputation and all that, here's an interesting little experiment you can play with some of the folks you work with. I like to play it wherever I work, which is, would you rather sleep with somebody in the office who you find despicable, or would you not sleep with them and have everybody think that you did? And most people choose sleep with. For instance, we used to work here with a guy named Webmaster Billy.
How dare you, sir?
And I can tell you right now that if I brought up bedding Webmaster Billy to Angie or Teresa or Lindsay or any of the other lovely ladies who work here, I would have to get an air travel sickness bag in front of them, ready for the contents of whatever's in their stomach to enter it. But if I told them that if everyone thought they would sleep with them, they would sleep with the person if it meant nobody finding out about it. I think they would bite the bullet. Teresa, you would do it with Billy.
Absolutely, because that's a bad 10 minutes, maybe five. Whereas if everyone knew, you know, they say there's a parable that gossip is like opening up a pillow full of feathers and you can't control where they fly.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, everyone would know and there's no controlling it.
Yeah. So I think most people would actually sleep with the person they were most disgusted with rather than everyone in their office think that they slept with them.
Well, there is a...
You may be that person, by the way, Jack. I haven't seen you in person, but I'm sizing you up.
No, don't tell my wife.
Okay.
But, you know, I think that much of our personal identity, how we feel about ourselves, has something to do with how we feel about the groups we belong to.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it may sound counterintuitive, but... A lot of people do not want to think badly of the people they work with because it reflects badly on them.
Yeah, you're one of them. Yeah, I feel that way when people complain too much. Oh, I'm looking at your picture now on the internet.
What does he look like?
She looks like Captain Kangaroo minus the makeup.
Oh, boy. Oh, really?
Oh, boy. You know, Captain Crunch. You know, but many of my students tell me I look like Albert Einstein.
Right.
But minus I do the have brains. A long list of lookalikes, including David Crosby.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Looking like Einstein is not a compliment. Acting like Einstein is a compliment.
Like, people tell me I think just like Heidi Klum.
That's right.
Well, I may have to get plastic surgery because I would say at least 8 million people have told me that I look like Albert Einstein. Maybe about... 1 million have told me it's Captain Kangaroo.
I have a long list.
All right. Well, the point is, Jack. What is before we're running late for a break here? Give us a overall synopsis.
I do want to say something about office gossip that will help people because you know when you're a new employee in the office, you're going to get that employee handbook, and that's fine. But don't ignore the very real and valuable information that you get over the water cooler grapevine, because that's where you're going to find out who to avoid, who to go to for advice, who is trustworthy, how long it really takes to get a promotion or raise. You get the really good stuff through office gossip. So don't just because it's called gossip doesn't mean it's wrong or trivial.
No, I find most reputations or most gossip is sort of earned. When they tell you that someone is difficult to work with or somebody's two-faced or whatever, normally right.
It might be.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you, Mark. I should say Jack Levin.
I just have one
nice
little piece.
Yes.
One little piece of gossip.
Yes.
The guy that bleeps out the bad words is sleeping right now.
Oh.
I can see him.
Kate Mouse!
Brian?
He woke up. Was that bad gossip or good gossip?
That's good gossip. Now we could curse.
I just noticed him taking himself a little nap during that segment.
Was Jack. Oh, nice test. That was Jack Levin, professor of sociology and criminology. All right. Not sure what his point was. I think gossip's okay. It works.
I think
you can
learn a lot from it.
Mm-hmm.
When people gossip, there's a kernel of truth to it. Was that his point?
This is damn exciting stuff.
Engage in it at all costs.
Okay.
Just dynamite.
All right. I cut my sushi speech short for that.
I can't take anything the man says, you know, with any seriousness when he starts off by bad-mouthing asparagus multiple times, named the vegetable of the year.
Hey, obviously, is not get your newsletter. Asparagus is not only does it taste delightful, it makes your wee-wee smell delicious as well.
I think I'm going to have to rank the best vegetables right now.
What's coming up on the news, Teresa?
Well, the long and short of it, Mel Gibson hates Jews, Tori Spelling loves porn, and I have some details about the Mel Gibson story that I don't think you'll be hearing anywhere else.
Really?
Yes,
all
I
right.
do.
Well, we'll get to that right after this.
866-901-ADAM. 866-901-ADAM. The Adam Carolla Show. Here's what's coming up this morning on the Adam Carolla Show with Jack Silver. He's our program director.
What up, players? It's your homeboy, Jack. We got a fly show for you today. X-Game street skater Paul Rodriguez, P-Rod, coming in. He'll share some tips with us. Lots of Mel Gibson talk. Should be dope. And the stuff I'm really excited about, boobs. Girls from Playboy TV's Totally Busted. Sunset Thomas, super porn star. Da-da-da-da-da. Boobies. Should be dope. Late.
Thank you, Jack. Call 866-901-ADAM. Here's Adam on the Adam Carolla Show.
Yes, it is. All right. It is now time for our own Teresa Strasser and the news.
Well, 3 weeks into its battle with Hezbollah, Israel has decided to widen its offensive. According to a government official there,
ground troops. Go Jews!
Ground
big Jews fan. I got the jersey.
You
the
do?
Blue and white jersey.
Big J.
Go Jews. Dreidel head. Got the foam dreidel. Put
that's
on my
the
head.
Mascot?
You know, it's like what the cheeseheads are over there in Wisconsin. I got the big styrofoam dreidel. I put it on my head. Blue and white jersey with the big J on it. Go Jews!
It's nice to have a fan. Meanwhile, Syria, which backs Hezbollah, has ordered its armed forces to raise their level of alert. Now, meanwhile, diplomats are trying to find a resolution to all of this. Now, a Palestinian newspaper ran a cartoon of our Secretary of State, Condoleezza Rice. And in the cartoon, she's pregnant with a monkey. So the editor now has to explain away why this cartoon is not racist.
The monkey part is a premature birth for something that is not acceptable. It's rejected and it's not feasible to do and it's destructive. This is a metaphor. If you look at the caricature itself, the monkey is not even black. So what we're talking about, this is not a racist cartoon.
Neither is the fried chicken or the watermelon. They're not actually black. They just stand for something. Well, first off, what took so long? That's my question. I mean, in this part of the world, this is the first monkey racist. I mean, they hate chicks. They hate all other races. She's not Muslim. She's black and she's a female. I can't. What has taken so long is my question.
Well, you had mentioned that she's probably the last person they wanted to see, so when I heard that guy, I thought of you.
That region loves it when the ladies bark out the orders. That's what they love. That's who runs that whole world, that region over there. It's all the ladies.
Oh, yeah. Meanwhile, in Cuba...
Talk about it. An antithesis of their Jewish neighbors they're fighting against. It was a pee-whipped nation, arguably. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Well, it is interesting that, you know, you can talk about all the differences between their religion and Judaism and all that kind of stuff, but really just boils down to, in the Jewish household, the chick is ruling the roost. I mean, she's running the show over there, right? I mean, it's a running joke, but any Jewish couple I know, the women are calling the shots. The Arab nations, a little different scene at home, wouldn't you say?
I would say that the women are not probably empowered as much in the Muslim culture.
Right.
I do hear your larger point, and I think it's a valid one. However, I think Jews in America are very different people
than
Israelis.
Well,
Israelis are ass-kicking, tough dudes.
Well, they're all in the military, which, you know, I thought about this the other day, as I've actually done reporting from the Middle East. And it's interesting there because every citizen serves in the military, so everyone knows how to use an Uzi. That's women and men alike.
Mm-hmm.
So there is a difference culturally.
Yeah, you have your indigenous super commando Jew, and then you have your domesticated North American Jew. Very docile. You can feed them. You go right up
you
to them.
You get right up to them.
You get right up to them. Yeah, but don't get them used to it because then they start hanging around the campsite.
You put the little challah crumbs in your hand and they'll come right up to you.
The Jews in the dumpster going for the matzah brie. So sad. Once in a while you have to shoot one when it gets rabid. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Okay. Well, in Cuba, we talked about this earlier. Fidel Castro underwent surgery for what's being called a sharp intestinal crisis. Little is known about his condition, but his brother, Raul, is now in charge. He's taken over the presidency there. This is the first time Castro has relinquished power in 47 years.
Wow. I hope he, if he passes on, he bequeaths them his crazy beard. That's what I would do. Like, unless you have to wear the beard and the glasses like a Woody Allen film.
Or else no deal.
Or no deal.
Now, in entertainment news, obviously the Mel Gibson story is everywhere, and there's so many things to say. The first, and for some reason the most surprising, is that according to TMZ, which is the entertainment website that originally posted, you know, all the reportage about his arrest and him talking about the effing Jews, etc., you know, he asked the deputy, a guy named James Mee, who was arresting him, "Are you a Jew?" Well, guess what? He is a Jew.
What?
Yes! The cop that arrested Mel Gibson is a Jew. So Mel Gibson can be, you know, half in the bag, and he still can recognize a Jew.
He saw his horn.
You can smell them Jews. I'm looking at the picture here from the New York Post. I guess it's the night before the arrest or of the arrest. Yeah. It was done very early in the morning. By the way, when you're giving out news stories and someone has partied into the morning, call it that night. It's always confusing.
Yeah, it's
he was
confusing.
Arrested Friday morning, early Friday morning. That was a guy up drinking. No, he wasn't up. He wasn't up. He didn't jog to a liquor store, get drunk, and then get arrested. He partied till after midnight. I think when it comes to partying, you have to, you know, if there's a plane crash, you can say it was early Friday morning. But when it comes to partying, make it late Thursday night. It puts it into context. Always confusing. Early Friday morning, he was arrested driving home. What was he doing that early? He had a paper route or something? No, it was 2:30. Bar's closed. He was driving home. Yeah, he's with a couple of hot chicks. Actually, one of them's producer, Angie.
I can see. Look like
yeah, she's all over the news these days. He's with a couple hot blondes. I'm guessing he has a wife and 45 kids at home.
That's exactly what I always think. What a great guy. He's, you know, he's never cheated. He has 27 kids and faithful to this wife. Something always stunk about this fella.
Well, it's a couple of 19-year-old blondes he's boozing with. But maybe he's just posing for a picture with them. We don't know. Anyway, hot blondes. I'm sure their boyfriends, husbands, or parents are excited to see where they were.
Well, not surprisingly, Mel Gibson, where he is, a little place called rehab. Now, this is not his first bout with substance abuse. Here is a clip of Mel Gibson talking to Diane Sawyer. This is back in 2004 about his history of addiction and what kind of stuff he's put in his body.
Drugs, booze, anything. You name it. Sometimes I used to drive inebriated. I mean, this is the height of careless stupidity. It's only by grace from above that I, you know, that I'm not in a pine box somewhere.
Now, so this is rehab? I don't like the one rehab. You can't do the one re. If you're doing rehab for the third or fourth time, it's either got to be rehab or rehab.
Yes. They call them retreads, those that go back.
The rehab retreads?
Yes.
Well, everyone wants to know about him getting a special treatment. And you know my theory, couple things. I don't know. First off, I don't look at it as a conspiracy with the Malibu, whoever, sheriff, right, or whoever it is. If you picked up a guy and he was just John Q. Public and he was drunk and he was blottoed and he was yelling about the Jews or about the Christians or about the Mexicans or about the blacks or about whoever, and he smelled and he wet himself, wouldn't you just write in the police report he's belligerent and sloppy drunk? I mean, would you write down verbatim? I mean, do they have a stenographer? Every guy who gets picked up, who's loaded, who's arguing with the cops and being belligerent, is doing that thing where it's like, my old lady, her crotch smells. And I, you know, if you guys were wearing that badge, man, we'd be throwing down right now. And all that stuff. They say the guy was belligerent, the guy was drunk, right? Do they write down verbatim everything that came out of the guy's mouth? You know what I'm saying? Is that special treatment? And here's the other thing. Even if it was special treatment, I did a little rough calculating and decided that old Mel's in the $200 million tax-paying bracket club.
Yes.
And that guy is probably, and you guys think I'm exaggerating, but The Passion of the Christ made $600 million worldwide. Now, I'm sure he has a halfway decent accountant, but even if you're in the 30% bracket and he's higher than that, that's $200 million last year. Now, maybe he didn't pay it all last year. Over the course of the guy's 20-year career, he's probably paid in $300 or $400 million worth of taxes. Yeah, go ahead and put the sticker on his license.
Do you think he's
in the club. Why does he get special treatment? Well, he built a dam. That's why he gets special treatment. I'm totally fine with that. Completely 100% fine with it.
Well,
I know everyone thinks I'm the biggest a-hole in the world because I have this pie-in-the-sky fairy tale dream that the more you pay in, the better you should be treated.
Well, it seems fair.
Is it different anywhere else? Is there another facet of society that works differently than that? Isn't that all it is? You pay in more, you get a better suite when you go to Vegas. You pay in more, you get to surf and turf when you go out to eat. You pay in more, you get better. It's all the guys paid $500 million. Let him have a pass.
Well, the deputy who arrested him, the effing Jew, is actually taking it very well. He's not offended, and he just wants people to remember not to drink and drive. Now, here's who's not taking it well: ABC, because they, as you may have heard, have a project in the works. It's a mini series about the Holocaust. They are dropping the project, especially in light of this trailer.
Mel Gibson presents The Holocaust. When Hitler rises to power and invades Poland, wacky hijinks ensue. It's a blitzkrieg of fun. Mel Gibson presents The Holocaust. Get drunk and drive yourself to the theater today. It's hilarious.
Hilarious. Yeah. Yeah, I don't think he was taking it seriously. They said they... Well, here's what they did. ABC dropped it, like, yesterday. And they said... It made no mention of his anti-Semitism or the drunk driving or anything. They said they gave him 2 years to develop a script. They haven't seen a script yet. So, coincidentally, they dropped it yesterday afternoon. Just say why you dropped it. At least have the huevos to say that, right?
Well, Mel had nothing to write. It never happened.
Yeah, a blank script.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, on the Lindsay Lohan front, her mother, Dina, has come out to defend her. Now, if you recall, her boss over at Georgia Rule had fired off an angry letter to Lohan about her all-night partying and being a spoiled child and not showing up for work. Well, here is Dina defending her daughter, Lindsay Lohan.
Is there any truth to these complaints? I mean, there's lots of complaints about behavior and about partying and all that stuff.
Lindsay gets there late to work. I mean, okay. I mean, she's a human being, you know. There was a day where she was a little bit late.
A day. There was a day when she was a little bit late. A day? Well, that's how it works. You show up 8 or 9 minutes late to the set one day on a 3-month shoot, and you get a letter. You get a horrible, hate-filled letter. That's how studio heads do it. They have no tolerance.
Well, Dina had a little bit more to say.
Hold on.
Okay.
A day or multiple days? I like when people just create their own truth bubble, and then they work from there. Yeah, of course it's unfair to write someone a letter when they were a little bit late one day. I'm guessing it was multiple days and was a lot of it late. But let's continue. And boy, we got to get her together with the Simpson dad. Because I realize it's the two worst parents in the world.
Okay, more Dina and what she had to say.
Is there some truth, if, you know, going in for exhaustion that she's been in before,
Lindsay,
is there some truth to it?
105 degrees, calling me, mommy, I'm going to faint. No one's giving me water. I really feel sick.
I'm sure that's exactly how it went down. She called mom and said, I feel dizzy. I feel faint. It's 105 degrees. No one will give me water. Because I've been on the set. I just did a movie. I was a star of a movie. It was a lower budget movie, but it was still a movie. And I remember asking for water. That was the last time I asked for water. It was very hot. We were doing some boxing scenes. I said, well, I'm feeling a lightheaded. Get some water. And it was like, please, that's for the grips and craft service only.
For you.
At a certain point, I snuck away, and I went to the cooler, and I reached my hand in, and it slammed shut. It was the boot of the AP. He just slammed the thing down on me. Please. You drank from the hose, boy.
Is that what you did, though? Did you call your mom?
I called my mom, told her feeling lightheaded.
Mommy, I feel faint.
Right. Mommy, no one will give me any water. Where can I find some water?
No water. Dig a well, bitch. That's what they yelled at her on the set. Sure, it's 105 degrees. You're the star of this movie. You ask for water. No way.
Well, they gave her an ice cube to suck on.
Suck on this.
Tori Spelling.
I'm sure that's exactly what happened.
Tori Spelling told Giant Magazine that she and her new husband watch hardcore porn and that they rented from a particular internet site. The CEO of this internet site was so excited that he decided to give Tori free porn for life. Mm. Now, he was going to provide a list of her purchases so you at home could see the same porn that Tori's watching, but Tori's rep said no. Let's keep that list out.
All right.
But Tori gets free porn for life.
Let's get her back in here.
I would like to get lots gone on in her life since we last had her. And I should say this. We're going to have more on the Mel Gibson story in the moments to come.
Mm-hmm.
I'm Teresa Strasser, and that's the news.
It's time for Dave Damashek's number one sports. Number one sports. Do it, Dave.
I'll do it, all right. Hey, listen, there was the trade deadline in Major League Baseball yesterday, and the biggest name on the move, Greg Maddux, Hall of Famer. I don't know about the Dodger trades, though, overall, though. Greg Maddux, Hall of Famer, yes, seems like a nice fella, sure, but I don't know at this point if he can turn things around. You know, he's won four games since April, so... Is he going to turn it around for the Dodgers and their sorry fate?
The season was going in April.
That's right.
And another 65 games to go.
Are we having an earthquake?
That's me.
Oh, it is?
My foot shaking.
You're so upset about baseball season.
April, and there's another 65 games to go.
What does that mean? Football season starts in September?
Football's a real sport.
It goes to January. What's the difference?
It's a real sport that men watch. Pussy baseball. I'm tired of it. It's enough.
You're right. The stands are populated by broads.
That's right.
The ballpark.
That's right. Sipping tea with their pinkies out.
By the way, I don't know if this is related, but our dump guy again, Brian, is falling asleep as Dave's doing the sports.
I love how delighted Bruskin gets with himself when he makes his lame digs. He gets tickled. He turns all red, giggles. Congratulations. anyway, so along with Maddux, the Dodgers also, they had to give up Cesar Torres, who I really enjoyed watching. Slick fielder. But they do get back the bums. Julio Lugo.
Lugo!
Not just a terrific name, Lugo. He's also a very nice shortstop, a little more pop than his Torres. So we'll see what happens. The Big A, the scene for a big series in the American League West. Athletics of Oakland, Angels of Orange County. A's took the first one, a three-game set last night. 3-1. A's now up 1.5 in the AL West. Mm-hmm. Senior circuit. Snakes of Arizona go into Wrigley and shame the Cubs. Gigantic swooning. Eight straight losses for Barry the Creep and his pals after getting dumped in Frisco. That's right, I say Frisco. And I shame the devil. I'm not going to apologize.
Well, Brian's sleeping right through the whole thing.
I've been known to say San Luis every once in a while when I'm talking about San Luis Obispo. They don't like that over there either.
What about Pitt?
I like Pitt.
You all right with Pitt?
Oh, sure. I like that. It's a cool nickname. Now, the thing that's going on is the drug scandal. So I mentioned Barry the Creep a minute ago. Mm-hmm. But the headlines these days go to Floyd Landis, the Tour de France winner. Mm. Listen to what he said. Not exactly the strongest support of himself in saying that all he did was whiskey and beer. That's the only thing he put into his system. Here he is talking about it.
Have you ever taken performance-enhancing drugs before?
I'll say no. The problem I have here, again, is that most of the public has an idea about cycling because of the way things have gone in the past. And so I'll say no.
I'll say no.
Great strength and conviction.
It's great. See, I use that. My wife asked me if I've cheated.
Have you cheated?
I'll say no.
Are these condoms yours?
I will say no to the spent ones.
The lipstick on your collar, is that my color?
I'll say no. It wouldn't look good on you, and no, it's not your color. I'll say no. But to dinner, I'll say yes. And to a BJ, I'll say maybe, depending on how the dinner sits.
Meantime, Justin Gatlin.
I'll say no.
I'll say no.
Like he's got a magic eight ball? What's he doing? Shaking it? Have you done anabolic steroids? Hold on. I'll say no. Turns out no.
Well, listen, I think he should go the route of Justin Gatlin, the so-called fastest man in the world. You know, he ran the 100 meters faster than anybody's ever done it.
That could just mean the biggest coward. If you really think about it, you know, the guy runs the fastest. You know what I mean?
You know? Really
takes
me
a bigger man just to stand there.
Stand and
blocks.
Fight. I stand and fight. Whoever fired that pistol up in the air, I'm going after him.
That's
I'm not running
men,
from the shot.
Men watch, right?
That's right.
Now, listen. He had the dignity, Justin Gatlin did, to concoct a completely ridiculous story. Mm-hmm. He says that a malicious personal trainer rub testosterone cream on his legs without him knowing about it. Mm. That's how it got in there. The personal trainer did it.
Sure.
Ridiculous. Sure. Ridiculous lie. Now, with no further ado, this guy who looks like Albert Einstein, who was on the line in the last break,
mm-hmm.
he badmouthed asparagus. I think it's time to check the rankings on vegetables.
Please.
Coming in right now
mm-hmm.
at number five, broccoli.
Mm.
It's nice, steady.
Mm-hmm.
Put a little salt on it, steam it up.
Mm-hmm.
Put it in some stir-fried, delicious.
Mm-hmm.
Number four, the tomato. We've had, you know, I'm the first
Dave,
one to admit.
I don't want to cut you off, but technically a fruit.
True.
The tomato.
I'm sorry, David. It's technically a fruit, therefore it cannot live
I'm
on the best vegetable
one,
chart.
I'm the first one to admit that the tomato and I have had some tough times.
Mm-hmm.
There have been years, maybe even decades, where the tomato and I didn't get along.
Really?
But I've had some delicious ones lately.
But always in the form of its close cousin, ketchup.
No. Well, I've always loved ketchup.
Well,
yes,
that's what I'm saying.
Yes.
That's what I'm saying.
However, yes. But I've had some with some salt and some nice cheese on the side and some buffalo mozzarella.
Mm, yeah.
Really delicious.
Crazy.
You know what?
Wonderful.
When a man's wrong, I say I'm wrong.
A big man.
And the tomato's been delicious lately. A
little balsamic vinegar.
Yes.
How about every once in a while you see a weirdo eating it like an apple? And you do that thing where you're like, what are you doing? Like, hey, it's delicious. Oh, would you stop that?
I've never seen that. Somebody picks up a whole tomato?
I've seen people do that with a bell pepper.
I've seen them do it with bell peppers. I've seen them do it with tomatoes and once in a blue moon onion. And I think they're just trying to freak us out.
Yeah.
Knock it off, you people. Cut it up, you animals.
The Vidalia onion. Sweet and delicious.
Mm, now, which one is that?
It's sort of yellowy,
mm-hmm.
and it's only available in the summer months, but it's
Vidalia
just out of sight.
Onion.
It's very sweet.
Mm-hmm.
Delicious. You grill it if you'd like.
Mm-hmm,
you saute
yeah.
it.
Now I'm picturing it.
It's fantastic. Shiitake mushroom,
oh, those are
number
good.
Two.
Love
they're very
it.
Good with some
La-dee-da.
Butter.
Yeah.
They go along with anything.
Mm.
And number one, listen, sorry, Albert Einstein. You may know E equals MC squared, but I know that number one atop the charts this week at least. Asparagus.
Yeah.
But you know what? Mm. We're only just now into August. There's plenty mm-hmm. of time for the other vegetables
Plus,
to make
on,
their push.
On the tomato front, I think you got to DQ because Adam called it a fruit. You got to take beets off the bench and put them in.
Yeah. Tell beets to start warming up in the bullpen. Take the windbreaker off, beets.
Tomatoes
got to be
out.
Get in the golf cart, beets. We're calling you in.
Dave has a look like this is my list.
I'm sorry. What say you?
Dave Damashek's number one sports.
All right. You know, I will say this about asparagus, too. It's one of the few vegetables that you can just steam up and just eat. Just put a little salt on it and eat. You know, hollandaise is nice. A little butter's nice. But you can just eat it. Eat it right then and there.
Mm-hmm.
Most won't stand up. 866-901-ADAM. All right. We're going to get into this Mel Gibson thing. We'll take your calls. Give us your thoughts. Anti-Semitic? Will this ruin his career? So many questions to answer. 866-901-ADAM. We'll do that after this.
866-901-ADAM. 866-901-ADAM. The Adam Carolla Show. And now, Alcoa presents Definitely Not a Jew on the Adam Carolla Show. Dateline, Malibu, California. A man was pulled over for drunk driving on California's Pacific Coast Highway after getting belligerent and saying that his life was f***ed. He asked the arresting officer if he was a Jew and claimed that Jews are responsible for all the wars in the world. Definitely not a Jew.
Well, we're going to get into that in 1 second. First off, something that people didn't know about, I don't believe, is the TMZ website. Is TMZ stands for 30 Mile Zone.
Does it?
Yes.
I had no idea what it stood for.
Yeah, no one. I heard it like 5 a.m. this morning on CNN. Nobody ever talks about this. It's called TMZ website. It has to do with the 30-mile zone, which is some sort of inside joke about filming and permits and cost or something to do with Los Angeles. Maybe within Los Angeles proper, or maybe within the city limits, which would probably maybe be a 30-mile zone of downtown, whatever, you have to pull a permit, whatever, and then if you get outside of that, you're in Riverside, and who cares? It has something to do, but anyway, TMZ stands for 30-mile zone, which is apropos of nothing, really, when it comes to their website and what they report. So we're talking about Mel Gibson. Trying to think, I know not all cops are corrupt, but if cop pulls you over and you offer him $100, he may not let you out of a ticket. If you offered him $10,000, I think there's a decent chance he would, or most would. I mean, cops make $50,000, $60,000 a year. If you had an attaché case with 10 grand in it, what percentage? I know people like to do that thing where it's like, well, either the guy's on the take or he's not, or he's a bad cop or he's not, but I gotta tell you, if the Ace Man was carrying the shield and you offered me $50 to let you go, I'd take it. So I'm not a good example of that. But if you offered me 10 grand, I would really. Now, if you offered me $100 to let you out of a ticket, I'd say, nah, you're Mel Gibson. This is going to be too fun. I'm going to be a hero around the courthouse. But if you showed me a briefcase, you open it up, and there's 10 grand in there, pretty good chance I'd let you roll.
It is a business.
On that. Do not kid yourself, Damashek.
I think they videotape a lot of these arrests now. Mm-hmm. So maybe they wouldn't take the bribe because it would later be caught on tape.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think he couldn't get away. Yeah, the guy had the foresight, the officer, tape recorded the whole thing, which lends credence to your theory that they were giving him special treatment to really try to stick it to him. Mm-hmm. What would make the officer audio tape a thing from the outset, except that it's like, it's Mel Gibson, maybe I'll get something good.
I'm just saying, if I'm Mel or anybody of his ilk, I'm traveling around with 10 grand worth of cash under my car seat, just in case, whatever it is. Abducted by a gangbanger and got to pay him off. Cop pulls you over. Whatever it is. I mean, I don't know what this is worth to Mel Gibson, but I can guarantee you if I said, would you rather part with 10 grand or being whatever, he'd do it up to about probably about $1 million.
Yeah. The only thing that could have made the tape any better is if he was trying to do that instead of saying, what the F are you looking at, sugar teats? It'd be better if he was saying, hey, how about 10 grand to make this thing go away, sugar teats?
I just found out that Mel is worth $850 million. He's the 47th richest person in, well, it says in Los Angeles.
Oh, what can I tell you, buddy? I'm blessed.
In L.A., really? No. It's got to be maybe at least California. I don't know. Anyway, he's the wealthiest actor in the world. So, and
really?
That's what this note says. It makes sense after Passion of the Christ. Also, again, I know you guys don't like the Ace Man when he talks this way, but I believe anyone who's paid $500 million in taxes gets a pass. You know when they do that special treatment? Sure, why not? What's wrong with it?
Well, I think he probably has been afforded some special conveniences.
Give him more. Give him more. Yeah, you know what? Give him another garbage man too. Why not?
Another can even for his recyclables.
Sure. Why not? I'm all for it.
He probably has a very good accountant to help him hide some of his assets, and I'm going to guess that one of his accountants is probably an effing Jew.
Henry.
Yeah, hi.
How say you, my brother?
Oh, I can't stand Mel Gibson.
Mm-hmm. Did you not like him before this?
Well, I started not liking him when they did The Passion of Christ, and his father was on Larry King, and he was talking about how the Holocaust was a fairy tale.
Mm-hmm.
And, yes.
And he loves his father. He made The Passion of Christ for his father.
Uh-huh.
He could, you know, have his father's love.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That did it for me.
I always wonder, thanks, Henry, I always wonder, whatever you think in your heart of hearts, especially in front of Larry King, who's really, he's like two Jews.
He's
actually
Jewish.
Eating a bowl of matzo brie soup right in front of, you know, I mean, he's the Jewiest of all Jews. You really want to sit there and pitch to him on national TV that the Holocaust didn't exist? Even if that's what you believe, don't you keep your soup cooler closed?
You like
for that
people
one?
Who keep it real, though.
Yeah.
He kept it real.
Hey, some people say jerk, you know, say I'm a jerk. I'm just telling it like it is.
That's right.
You don't like to hear the truth, then.
Ethan Felsen is the, well, let's talk to him. He's on The hotline. Ethan?
Yes.
What is your title, by the way?
I'm the Associate Executive Director of the Jewish Council for Public Affairs.
Mm-hmm.
Rough day.
Yeah. So what do you think? What do you think about Mel?
Rough week, rough year. Mm-hmm. And so it's nice to have a conversation about something not as serious, which is Mel Gibson.
Well, it is true when you hear about all the news out of Lebanon and Middle East and everything. This is almost, it's not to be taken lightly. But on the other hand, there's nobody in a body bag.
I think in an ordinary day, it's pathetic. And during this window in our history, it approaches comical.
Right.
Mel Gibson is a man who comes from a very fringe religious tradition that rejects everything that's come out of the Catholic Church in the past generation. He pays for a church where the Mass is said in Latin, and we assume he rejects all of Nostra Aetate, where the Catholic Church made its peace with Jews.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole idea, if you take a look at what the Conference of Catholic Bishops said about how to do a Passion,
mm-hmm.
it's a list of about 20 or 30 things, and it was his checklist to make that film. He did everything the opposite.
What do you think Mel Gibson would call himself? What does he call himself as far as religion goes?
A traditionalist Catholic.
Mm-hmm.
He rejects the modern Catholic Church, which is something that he shares with his father. We didn't know what else he shared with mm-hmm. his father, so we knew that the Passion of the Christ was his attack on the modern Catholic Church.
Mm-hmm.
Whether or not it was harmful to Jews, you had to know what was in his heart, and we didn't know that.
Right.
And,
well,
and
we
apparently a little tequila helps us learn.
Yeah. So what do you do now? What would you guys do next? Is there a boycott planned? How does that stuff work? Are you on the phone all day telling people not to work with him? How does it go?
Boycotts never work, and they oftentimes backfire. But what Mel Gibson had done was marketed himself brilliantly to very, very traditional religious people.
Mm-hmm.
And so the evangelicals flocked to see his film, and they made him the wealthy actor.
Well, sorry for cutting you off.
Pissed them off.
But it is interesting that the last time his name was around the news and it was there was controversy swirling around it, it made him $400 million.
Right, and he was the fair-haired boy of the evangelicals. The problem that he's just faced is that he's got a beef with the Jews.
Mm-hmm.
Evangelicals in this country, like it or not, don't seem to have a beef with Jews. They seem rather to have a pretty comfortable relationship with the Jewish community, and Mel Gibson does not.
Mm-hmm. So what do you think the outcome of this is going to be, if anything at all?
I think that people will now see Mel Gibson for the fairly pathetic fringe creature that he is, but he is a very, very wealthy man, and he has a following, and I think he will be, as he retires into his irrelevance, a wealthy actor-producer.
Right.
But clearly somebody that people will forever know is a mess.
Well, thank you, Ethan. Thanks for chiming in.
Take care.
Therese will be by about noon.
See,
you guys all
see
hang
what
out?
I can do. Oh, we all know each other.
Old habits die hard, I guess.
Mel chiming in the background. Mel Gibson, you know, it's weird. It's weird. Mel, such an old Jew name too, which is ironic. I never thought
true,
of it until
Mel
now.
Blank.
So it's just that Mel the guy, Mel the Moyle, Mel. It Mel's just that Uncle Mel. It's old Jewish guy who's complaining at the end of the
Mel
tale.
I mean, Mel and Herschel over at Cantor's.
Yes.
Tuesday is the day where they make the bean soup. It's delicious.
Brandon.
Yeah.
How say you?
What's up, guys? I love the show. I'm a first-time caller. Hey, I just wanted to
I'm just getting some California roll. I'm not eating again. I'm not eating. My ticket is getting validated.
Hey, I just wanted to bring up a little known fact about the Passion of the Christ.
Yes.
There's a part in the movie where they've got the Roman guy whipping Jesus over the stump, the tree stump.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as he gets to the number 10, it really sounds like there's S-Jew super fast.
Ah.
Ooh, if you play it slow, he says, F juice.
And if you listen to Dark Side of the Moon.
I know. Yes. I've had several people listen to it in slow-mo, and they all agree. And all of them are
sounds
Christian.
Like something Jesus would say.
Let's get it. Let's get the DVD. I want to see if that's true.
Now, who is saying F with the Jews? Was it the whip sound? Is it Jesus? Is it the Roman who's beating him?
It's the Roman who's beating him, and he's saying, you know, he's speaking Roman or Latin or whatever, and as soon as he gets to the number 10, he says F Jews really quick, so it sounds like another language.
Brusket is, actually, he's just going to get something to eat.
But it was so much smarter.
As far as timing,
he left the room with the urgency. He thought, oh, maybe he's going to go do it, but no.
No. He's going to eat. All right. Thank you, Brandon.
No problem.
Appreciate it. Yeah. I never saw Passion of the Christ because for me, it was I'm agnostic and then some. So what's in it for me? And then B, they're speaking a kooky language. And then C, it's brutally violent.
Yes.
And that's what I heard. And here's my whole thing with violence. I don't mind a car chase scene. I don't mind something blowing up. But seeing one man just sort of beaten down in the dirt like that, it hurts my teeth.
I know. That's why I can't watch boxing.
Not interested.
Well, they all look like they make it really does not represent the Jews at all. Every Jew in the picture looks like Gonzo from the Muppets with the gigantic. I mean, just they're cartoony kind of Jews. Kill Jesus. I mean, they're really demonic kind of creatures.
In slow mo, F the Jews.
Well, try to get to the bottom of that controversy, Jay.
Yes, indeed. Hey, Adam Carolla, love you up here in San Francisco.
Loving you, Jay. I know. I left my keys in the bathroom. I'm not eating. Shut up. I'm not eating here.
Sorry. Fine, I'll stay for a miso soup.
I'm feeling very vindicated today because I have been calling Mr. Gibson a blowhard for years. Braveheart, blowhard movie. Mm-hmm. Passion of the Christ, if it wasn't clear after that, I don't know what would make it clear. Mm. Patriot, blowhard movie. I'm feeling vindicated today because we finally have the proof. You know, there comes a point, it's like Stevie Wonder. The second the man put out, I just called to say I love you, the career was over. No more good.
Right.
Okay? And that is where we are with Mel. I hope his movies tank from now on. And that's not personal. I'm just tired of hearing his opinions.
Well, I would say, and people don't say this enough, but most people that try to... Here you go, Jay, just for you. Anyone who tries to share their religion with others is a blowhard. I really do believe that. Shut up with your religion. And I've been screaming about this for years. Everyone is so respectful of everyone's views and everyone's personal religious views and everyone thanking Jesus Christ or Allah or whoever. Shut up. Everyone, please shut up with that talk. No one's interested in it. You have your own personal beliefs and convictions. Good. Make them your private porn stash. Don't spread it out. Don't air it out on the lawn every morning. Just keep it. Do your thing. Whatever you want to do. Get on the knees, face Mecca, do it five times a day. Go to your church, go to your synagogue. Shut up.
I'm gay.
Yes.
Just shut up about it. We're not interested. Plus, if you're an atheist like me, it just makes me think you're insane. This is just pie in the sky. But as we were talking about yesterday, no one ever talks about it. But of course, if you believe one thing very strongly and someone else is saying something else, you're against that. You're against them. If you're Catholics and you're Jew, Muslim, whatever you are, and somebody's coming in and they're talking about things that are totally different than what you believe is true, then of course you wish something bad would happen to them and that their ideas in them would go away.
Well, you made a great analogy yesterday about, you know, it's a loyalty to a football team, for instance.
Right. Dave, I said yesterday that Dave, his team is the Pittsburgh Steelers. I don't know if you've heard, but he enjoys the Steelers now. It's not enough that he just worshiped the Steelers. He doesn't want anything good to happen for the Bengals or the Cowboys or the Giants.
By definition, of course.
By definition, you like your team and you also hate the other teams. You don't just like your team.
Well,
that's the way it works with religion. Of course it does.
To play devil's advocate, some religions do preach tolerance.
Right.
And Christianity is actually one of those.
Yeah.
But you also, the underlying thought, though, is that if you are not of this religion, that you are, by definition, going to hell, then, in most religions.
And if you have to preach something...
Many of the Western religions, at least.
If you have to preach something, it means the majority of your flock is not going for it. You know, whenever they make these cries out for a peace in the inner city, please, no more violence. It means there's violence. Doesn't mean there's no gunplay, no violence, and Al Sharpton is there just begging everyone to stop killing each other for no good reason. Whatever. Yes, they stress, they preach. That means no one's listening. That means everyone's going at it. Look, I'm just saying, whether it's Mel Gibson or it's Hezbollah or it's whatever's going on in the Middle East at any given time, isn't everyone had an ass full of religion at this point?
Except Buddhism. They yes. really do. They really do. They really are about tolerance.
Yes.
And love.
Yes. They just, all they do is walk around. Once in a while, they set themselves on fire to protest something. For me, I go hunger strike. I don't go set on fire.
Really? You'd rather be hungry than on fire.
Yeah, that's my thing. Although, like I said, if you have any huevos, you'll set yourself on fire when you protest something. That's the way to protest. All right, we need to take ourselves a break. P-Rod, champion skateboarder Paul Rodriguez. Now, Paul Rodriguez, the comedian, his kid, P-Rod's a championship skateboarder, X Games. When do those start up? Like on Friday or Sunday or something? They're coming. They're coming soon. 12th, I do believe. To me, there's sports I'm not into and don't care about, and then there's sports I'm not into and will watch. Not really much into golf, not too much into curling or tennis. There's sports I'm not that much into, and I don't care to watch it either. X Games, I'm not into, but I will watch the F out of the X Games.
Yes, and the timber sports.
Yes, yes. Any guy who's trained his dog to jump off a dock and go chase a tennis ball 40 feet out in the water, yeah, I will watch. A guy's doing the rolling the logs. Or the unlimited chainsaw competition.
I think
as well.
The X Games actually start tomorrow.
Ah. Oh, they start tomorrow?
I believe so.
Ah. All right. Well, anyway, P-Rod in next to talk about that.
866-901-ADAM. 866-901-ADAM. The Adam Carolla Show. The Adam Carolla Show welcomes P-Rod. Paul Rodriguez Jr. will be skating later this week at X Games 12. And that was a gnarly nose grind heel flip out. Too bad it's radio. You should have seen it.
Freaking God.
P-Rod's in the studio on the Adam Carolla Show.
Those dramatic pauses always screw me up. P-Rod is in studio. Paul Rodriguez Jr. He doesn't like that. He likes P-Rod.
Sure.
Yeah. When you look at him, he does look like his pops in his younger days. I was just watching Quicksilver. The nice. Kevin Bacon movie. Super 80s movie. Forgotten yes. about. He was a bike messenger. He's an attorney. No, he was a money guy from Wall Street, but he lost all his pop savings, and now he's taken to the streets on a Huffy. Exciting stuff. Might Dad was in that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Dad looking good. Now that's what you can see. Now you look at your dad, and you can see what you're going to look like when you're 46. I don't know. How old is your dad? You're 21.
He's 51.
51.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's what you're going to look like. That's why I'm going to kill myself on my 45th birthday. I've seen my dad. It's a disaster. I got to tell you, this X Games, 12th one now, I do believe. I saw the commercial. Jimmy and I presided over like the 6th one or whatever one it was. They used to have them in the Bay Area, right? They moved
they
out.
They skip them all over.
They're all up, but it's been in L.A. for a couple of years now, right?
I think like 3 years.
3 years. Mm-hmm. We went out for the one that was in San Francisco.
Like 17 people showed up or something, right?
Yeah, 21, but yeah.
It's amazing how this has exploded.
Yeah. It was such a fringe sport. All the stuff, whether it's the snowboarding or the BMX stuff or the motocross, the skateboarding, it was kind of fringy stuff, and it's just gone nuts over the last few years.
Yeah, man, it's had a definite big boom, I guess. I mean,
what do you attribute that to anything?
I really don't know. Probably Tony Hawk, Bam Margera, guys like that start opening people's eyes.
Tony Hawk is a guy who's probably made. Couple hundred million bucks from
so much
from a skateboard.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Now, here's the problem. My kid will probably want a skateboard, and I'll try to talk him out of it like any decent parent. But now that you have Tony Hawk and P-Rod and people with their own shoe endorsement deals and making big money, you can't technically do it anymore. There was nobody that existed before these guys who made big livings off of doing this. So it's easy as a parent to go, please, you're not dropping out of college. You're not going to make a living now. I mean, you grew up probably, you're all into Tony Hawk, though, right? Growing up?
Yeah, well, I don't really skate the same as Tony. Tony's into the vert. I'm more in the streets. So I grew up watching, like, more underground guys, like, just off videos like that one.
Mm-hmm. That's the one that's in my hand called Forecast, by the way.
Yeah, where, like, they just showcase all their best skating. Like, companies will put out a video with all their best guys and have each of them have, like, five-minute parts. And I would just sit there and watch them over and over and over again and just try and copy everything they did.
Whenever I watch a sport or judge a sport, I always sort of base it on whether I think I could do it. I feel that way about almost everything. Like, it's why I sort of appreciate opera more than I appreciate spoken word or performance art. Whenever I see somebody doing something and I go, nah, I could do that, then immediately it has no value anymore. When I see a guy hit a golf ball, I think to myself, I could do that. Not consistently, but I could hit the golf ball. When I see you guys get going and doing one of those grinds on the railing and go down 25 stairs where you're just on the board, on top of the rail, all the way down to the bottom, I just look at that and it's like, well, where's the CGI? Where are the wires? Where's the green screen? How do you do that?
Oh, man, it's just a lot of practice. Like, I used to never think I was going to even skate rails. I was way too scared, but
you get going at it, right? Like, you go to some public library or school campus or something like that. The rail's 30, 33, 34 inches off the ground, right? Mm-hmm. You start skating at it and you hop up on it, right?
Yeah.
How do you do that part?
See, like, it's kind of an illusion because, like, yeah, it is so tall at the beginning, but once you ollie out to, like, say, the middle of the stairs,
you ollie out.
It's kind of like, like knee height. By the time you get on, it's like knee height, maybe a little bit above knee. So, like, you just meet it, like, where it's a reasonable place
but
to get on.
But don't you drag your nuts on the rail?
You very well can.
For the first 150 times you try it?
Exactly. You can play, you know, I can go outside and shoot baskets. I may never have played basketball in my life. I can miss the first 3,700 shots I take without any physical harm. How many times do you go down the rail and clonk yourself on the head before you get it?
I mean, there's those times where, you definitely take a few nice ones before you get what you're looking for. But, I mean, I've been pretty blessed. I haven't really gotten too injured. I just don't try anything until I think I'm really ready, until I'm, like, almost 100% confident that I'm going to do it, you know, so.
I saw the whole special on Real Sports, by the way, with you and your pops. I guess it was about a year or so ago.
Yeah.
I was very intrigued by it, you know, because usually if you're the son or daughter of a comedian, your profession is junkie. You go from rehab to rehab to rehab, and eventually you off yourself. Your dad says it's not suicide, but the coroner's report would say differently. It's weird that you're into a form of entertainment that has nothing to do with stand-up comedy or showbiz. Mm-hmm. And I imagine your pops and your mom's trying to talk you out of it for the first 10 years of your life.
Yeah, I mean, especially for my dad, I heard, son, you know, I understand it's fun and you like doing it, but but can you really make a living? Are you ever going to have a family off this? And, you know, I really didn't know all about that. At 13, 14, I really could have cared less, you know. But
But now you've got your own shoe from Nike.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's
Have you heard my three Mijos?
No.
The first Mijo is when I come home. This is me. If we live together, if I was your father,
mm-hmm.
Well, I don't want to give too much away, but you do decide to kill yourself ultimately. But I come home from the market. I've gone to the market to buy a 55-gallon drum of horchata. I'm rolling it back. Now I come home, the house is dark. I'm a little confused because when I left, you're just playing video games. So I walk through the front door. I'm in a decent mood. I need some help with the barrel of horchata. And I come home and the first Mijo sounds like this. Mijo! That's the I'm home Mijo. Second one, little suspicious. No response. The house is dark. I now stand at the foot of the stairs, ready to go up to your bedroom. A little confused. Worried, but not panicked yet. Second, Miho. Miho? That's confusing. Where is he? Where is he? Now I've gone up the stairs, turned the corner. I open the door, and I see young P-Rod hanging.
It has to be P-Rod.
Yes. Oh, he's hung himself with an electrical cord.
Thank you, Adam, for that visual.
I wouldn't let him go out and grind rails with that anaphylact or whatever he calls it. I come in now. Now it's the third and finals. I see swinging, hanging. Brusca, by the way, gives me the break right there.
Perfect
all right,
timing.
Well, let's go to break.
Perfect timing.
Forget the story, Corolla. The break's
I'm
more
sick
important.
Of meals.
No, finish the story, but we're very behind.
All right, but give me the break. Give me the break after I yell the Mijo. All right.
No!
Where was I?
Third Mijo.
Where was I? Third, that's right. You've hung yourself using electrical cord, which I'm upset about because it was a good 10-footer. Twist lock adapter on it. Now you've ruined it.
But the shot in the movie will be in the foreground, just the feet swinging.
And
in the background, you're in the arch of the
and
door.
And all
looking.
You hear is this.
I fall to my knees.
Nice.
No, it fell apart after the Brusca break.
It never came back.
That's right. Now, I was going to drink the horchata straight, but now, vermouth and horchata.
Dry.
Kill the pain. All right, P-Rod in studio, Paul Rodriguez Jr., I call him. He's the men's skateboarding street champion from the X Games. 04 and 05, 2 years running?
Yeah.
Sweet. Yeah. No pops.
We gotta go to break or I'm going to kill myself.
We're going to play a little something called X Game or Sex Game. These are actual skateboard tricks because they all got their weird. Throw out a few, P-Rod.
Wait, this might give away the game.
Give out
two. Grind, blunt slides, back tails.
Right, back tail. There's a good one. And actual Kama Sutra positions.
Yes, translated.
Translated. You guess it's sort of in the vein of NBA player tech stock.
Right.
866-901-AM. We'll play that with you after this.
866-901-ADAM. 866-901-ADAM. The Adam Carolla Show.
Yeah. All right. Paul Rodriguez Jr. in here. P-Rod, as he's known. X Games starts Thursday. Maybe the opening ceremony is tomorrow. And then the games itself, you start on Thursday, right?
I skate Friday, but the street event starts Thursday, yeah.
What is the one where the guy jumped over the Great Wall of China?
Oh, the
on
mega
a skateboard,
ramp.
The Danny mega Way. Ramp. Yeah.
Yeah, man, that's crazy. He's definitely pushing the limits right now. That's my boss.
Oh, it is.
Yeah.
He's the guy who you skate for?
Yeah. Him and Colin McKay, another pro vert skater, they started this company, Plan B Skateboards,
mm-hmm.
and they called me up, asked me if I wanted to ride for it, and I was definitely into it, because Danny Way is, like, he's a legend in our sport. Like, he's been a legend to us way before, like, Great Wall of China, anything. Like
I got to say, seeing a guy skate a pool or a vert ramp or something is pretty cool, but clearing the Great Wall of China, what he did on that skateboard
level.
Was crazy.
It's insane, and a dude actually died trying to jump it on his BMX bike.
Really?
Yeah.
I was going to do it on inline skates, but forget it now.
No.
Forget it. It is off. Yeah, how much ground do those guys cover on the mega ramp, like in the air?
I believe it was something like 70, 75 feet or something like that to get across the Great Wall. Like, he had already jumped bigger than the Great Wall, just with nothing in between.
See, I go to China and start with the medium wall and the minor wall. And then work my way up to the Great Wall.
Not so great.
Yeah.
The okay.
Decent wall.
Where's the one you use not to keep the Mongols from coming in, but to keep the German Shepherd from getting into the living room and messing up the nice carpet? Where's that wall? I'll
mediocre,
do that first.
Yeah.
Mediocre wall.
And just a couple weeks ago, he jumped off the in Las Vegas, off the Hard Rock Cafe, the Stratocaster in front of the whole hotel. He jumped off the top of it, yeah, into a vert ramp.
The other thing too about all this stuff is there's not a whole lot of. I mean, as Dave said, like, you know, when you try certain certain things, it's nice to get a dry run going. Right. You know, when you're jumping off the top of a Vegas hotel onto whatever, you don't get to practice at home and then just go stick it. It's not the NBA dunk competition where you get to go ahead and work your stuff out with Spud Webb. You just got to go do it, and if you miss, well, you're not embarrassed. You die.
That's what I did at the NBA dunk competition, though. I just went out there. Whatever I felt, I just did it. I didn't warm up.
Well, I'll say this. If you do your jump over the medium wall and you go with the P-Rod naming technique, you will be a car. Right? You take the first initial.
Oh, a car. Oh, right? Yeah. I like
that'd be your name.
Yeah. Nice. We will move ahead and play our little X game or sex game. Cue that up.
It's time to play Sex Game or X Game, where you tell us whether it's a skateboarding trick or a Kama Sutra sex position.
Now, P-Rod, I know you're going to know the answer to most of these, but sit on your tongue, would you please?
I'll do my best.
Or sit on... Teresa, you... Okay.
P-Rod has done all of these.
P-Rod is an attractive man.
Yeah, he's adorable. He's 21. He's a very cute kid.
Thank you.
He's good
much.
Looking. Yeah.
Thank you.
Tough life must be, right?
Oh, man, he's great.
Skateboarding, womanizing.
He's got like three hotties in the green room, by the way.
No, man. I got my girl in there.
Oh, that's your girlfriend?
Yeah.
Boobies!
Paul Rodriguez going to be skating at the X Games. It sounds weird when I call you P-Rod. Coming up on Friday. All right, so here's the thing. We have some Hooters gift certificates to give away. We also have an autographed skateboard. This is your board? This is the one you ride?
Yeah.
This is exact representation of the one you'll be riding in the street competition.
I rode that one actually last year. This year it'll be a different graphic because, you know, we put out like 3 or 4 graphics every 2-3 months.
But you will get an autographed P-Rod board.
Yeah.
RJ?
Hey, what's going on, Adam?
You ready to go?
Yeah. Hey, listen, I don't got a Hooters, so maybe I could play for that skateboard.
No.
All right.
A car says no.
I could explain to you why, but... I don't have the time. You ready?
I'm ready.
So, is it a skateboard trick or something from the Kama Sutra?
All right.
Double-edged knife.
That's skateboard trick.
Here's the good news. You wouldn't have won the board anyway. As a matter of fact, you were playing for the board. And $100,000 in cash. I'm sorry. I didn't want to put the pressure on you.
The good news is you're fired.
Tim.
Adam.
You ready to go?
Ready to go.
Peacock foot.
Peacock foot. Kama Sutra.
Yes!
I am now intrigued to know what these actually are. Peacock foot.
Ooh.
What gives? What could that
be? I think we have porn stars
reels.
Coming in later and pictures, so maybe we can reenact.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect.
All right, let's go to Chris. Chris?
Yep.
Ready to play?
Sure.
Lip slide.
Skate trick.
Yes! I don't know how Brian knows, by the way. Brian, how do you know?
I'm a huge skateboarding fan.
Oh, okay.
Are you a skate fan?
And a Kama Sutra amateur expert.
Major shredder.
Wow, all right.
I also have the list right here.
All right, it's the list. All right. So I got stuff highlighted. It takes me 10 minutes to find it. Who's next? Steve?
Yes, sir.
You ready to play?
Yes, sir.
Pivot cup. Pivot.
Let's see. That's going to be Kama Sutra. Darn.
I'm sorry. Watch the language, please.
Darn.
Paul, what is a pivot cup?
That's a piece of your skateboard. Like, that's part of the truck.
Well, that's not a move?
No.
Oh, should we give him another chance?
I'm missing
on technicality?
On but that's just a.
You know, you're the expert.
Yeah.
Steve.
That shouldn't count. That.
Yeah, listen.
I agree with you.
You just stared death in the eye and got a second chance, my friend, for a Hooters gift certificate.
Don't let
you
this one slip away.
You can have the gift certificate if you come over here and give Brusca the peacock foot.
Are you ready? You ready to try again?
Yes, sir.
The Emperor.
Skateboarding trick.
Nope. P-Rod, what is the Emperor?
I couldn't tell you.
Yeah. I'll give you the Emperor.
Sorry. Sorry, Steve. Two-time loser.
Yeah, oh well.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like being tried a second time. One time they had to throw the first one out because some tainted evidence. And the second time you're found guilty anyway. All right. Last one. Now, this one will be for the skateboard. What do you think? What is the street value of the street board, P-Rod?
I probably picked that one up for like $120.
That's a trucks, truck cups, everything, wheels, yeah. Everything, or just a board itself?
No, the board itself will run you about $50. The rest, you know.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's signed by P-Rod, though, so that makes it twice as valuable.
Whatever it is, it's going on eBay the second Scott wins it. If, in fact, he does win it. Scott?
I'm here.
Are you a skater?
A little bit.
Hmm. Because Steven over here says he's a skater. Hold on. Steven?
Hey, what's going on?
Are you a skater?
I am a skater. Actually, I worked in a shop for about 10 years, so...
Mm-hmm. Figures.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. The ringer.
Well, let me...
Let's bring this on.
Let me make sure you are a skater. Do laugh for me, if you would, please.
Do a what?
Just laugh.
Just laugh.
A little more, please. All right. Yeah, you smoke a lot of weed.
I think what we're looking for is...
Yeah, when I hear that, that means you smoke a lot of weed, and that means you skate.
Do you smoke weed? Because Adam's always right on this.
My boss might be listening.
Yes.
The good news is your boss isn't heading up a Fortune 500 company. He works at ValSurf, you understand? He wears flip-flops and OP shorts to work. What's he going to do? He's doing a bong load in the car in the parking lot right now before he... Uh-oh. Did you hear that laugh P-Rod just did?
Uh-oh. I did hear that. Uh-oh. It sounded a little...
I grew up a little bit and got a professional job now because I'm unfortunately not as good as P-Rod.
Right. So you're only smoking pot. You're not smoking pot at work. Uh-oh. All right. Well, you ready to play for the board here?
Yeah, I'm ready to play.
You've worked in a skate shop for 10 years. You don't have access to skateboards?
What? I do.
Okay. But I'd like to give you one for free. You ready?
Hey, you send it to me. I'll skate it. I promise.
All right.
That's right.
This one is called Threading the Needle.
Oh, that's Kama Sutra.
Yes. Yes. You're right, Steven. Well, there you go. Now, how old are you now, Steven?
I'm 30 now.
Still working at the skate shop?
No, I'm a public utilities worker now, but I still skate on the weekends.
Okay, so now you have yourself a P-Rod board to do it on.
That's great.
Good times, buddy. Hang on. P-Rod, God bless you. Paul Rodriguez, X Games, starting Thursday, ESPN. You'll be skating on Friday.
Yeah.
I got a lot of money on you, brother. Don't embarrass me this year.
I'll try my best, Adam.
I need you to come through. You know what the coolest one is? The step-up. Have you seen the motocross step-up? The one where it's essentially the high jump on a Honda 250. You try to get over. It's like pole vaulting on a motorcycle.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
They're getting like 17 feet in the air trying to clear a rod that's, it's essentially pole vaulting on a motorcycle. It's insane. It's like just driving off the side of a two-story building at a certain point.
Yeah, no. You know, you have to give credit to the skateboarders that your sport is clean of drugs with the exception of the weed.
Right.
True. No testosterone or
only
steroids.
Only performance diminishing.
Yeah, like, it's a laid-back sport.
Here's to you.
You raise your bong to him?
Yeah.
I do.
All right, we'll take ourselves a break. Say hi to Pops for us, by the
way.
For sure. We got some Playboy girls coming in as well after this.
866-901-ADAM. 866-901-ADAM. The Adam Carolla Show. And now, Alcoa presents Definitely Not a Jew on the Adam Carolla Show. Dateline, Malibu, California. A man was pulled over for drunk driving on California's Pacific Coast Highway after getting belligerent and saying that his life was f***ed. He asked the arresting officer if he was a Jew and claimed that Jews are responsible for all the wars in the world. Definitely not a Jew.
Speaking of definitely not Jews, we got some Playboy chicks coming up from the Totally Busted show, which I enjoy immensely. I realize that no one else has seen it in the studio, but I love it. If you love boobies and candid camera, you're going to love this.
This is a candid camera, but with nudes.
Also, porn producer Yergi. You've heard him. He's from Behind Iron Curtain. He'll be in as well. So we have that to look forward to. First, a little more Mel Gibson news. So just the broad strokes. We all know about the anti-Semitic stuff. He was doing, I guess, 87 in a 45, or so they say, roughly twice his posted speed limit. PCH, for those who don't live around here, is a nice long rambling highway, goes along the Pacific Ocean. Some spots, it's like 65. Some spots, long straightaways, plenty of room. Others, a little bit tighter, and you got to slow it down. I guess he was on a tighter spot. But the bigger message here is, I'm not going to tell you not to drive drunk. You're going to do it anyway. But maintain. That's my PSA. Don't get rowdy behind the wheel. This is the problem. It's not that people are drunk. That's part of it. It's how they drive when they're drunk. If you're drunk and you're driving and you get pulled over, your life is ruined. I know everyone focuses on you hitting the kid that's chasing his ball out into the street or rear-ending the school bus or something. For me, it's more about the ace man. Mm. You get pulled over, you're getting your license stripped, and if you live in Los Angeles and you get your license revoked, you're screwed because we have no public transportation.
Is that what do you lose it for? Like 3 months or something?
You can lose it. It gets stiffer and stiffer as we get more politically correct. I mean, there was a time when the cop would just escort you home. I mean, really? You'd give him a nip from your flask?
Yeah, he'd actually make you a cup of coffee and tuck you into bed.
Yeah. Barney Fife would give you a police escort back to the ranch, and he'd tuck you in bed. Right now, you get bussed. You treat like an animal. You will get usually your license suspended for like 6 months, or it's one of those things where you can drive to and from work, but you can't use your car. It all depends what municipality you're in, and they vary wildly, which is a weird thing. You know what I mean? You should just go ahead and set whatever the punishment is, and that's what it should be. But you'll lose your license for 6 months most often, most of the time. You will have huge fines to pay, and you'll have to go into some sort of court-appointed rehab. This could have been your 21st birthday, and you never had a sip of booze in your life. You will have to go to mandatory like AA meetings, which I totally disagree with, but they force you to do it, and you got to do it anyway. So your life will be ruined. So my point is,
like our friend, we conjecture, we have Fat Tad, our resident.
Let me tell you how bad it is for Big Tad. He has to blow into the ignition system of a donkey. Not even a car anymore. He actually has to blow, and I don't want to tell you where that tube is coming from on the donkey, or if in fact it's even a tube.
He's driving a 1962 ass.
Drunk and stupid is no way to go.
But let me get this straight, though. Your public service announcement is maintain when you're driving.
Yes, let's face it. People are going to, as long as people are driving to the bars, to the company mixers, the Christmas company mixers, the farmer's market, as we know here from our own staff, they're going to be driving home with a buzz. I mean, let's face it, you're just going to. You're going to have a few beers, and you're going to get behind the wheel. Almost everyone does it. I'm saying don't do any donuts in the parking lot of the 7-Eleven. Maintain. If Mel had maintained, we wouldn't be talking about him right now. Brusket, you've been pulled over for DUI?
Yeah, I do have a confession.
Wow.
I was a young kid. Not a bombshell. I was a young kid, and I drank a lot when I was young. But I was about 20, and and Adam's right. I got pulled over, but not so much because I was drunk. I was drunk, but I was blowing red lights and stop signs. It was like 2 in the morning, and the cop pulled
me
over.
Nickname for his buddy in the passenger seat. Red Light Johnson, they called him.
Couldn't stop blowing
over. I was obviously a knucklehead, and I never should have done this, and drive with a couple of pops in me, but I was blowing stop signs and red lights. The cop pulls me over.
Pops, also a nickname for one of his guys.
All right, I'm listening. Sorry.
All right, listen, can I continue the story?
Quit saying blowing and start saying running. We'll do it.
So you blew some pops.
I'm right.
Come on. I blew the stop sign.
Did you call the officer?
My buddy,
sweet
stop.
Teats.
All right. Anyway, So the guy, the cop was really nice, and he said, you know what? And basically he said exactly what Adam said. You know, he basically said, if you had a couple of pops in you, why would you be stupid enough to be passing through stop signs and red lights? Mm-hmm. And I actually was right across the street from my house, so he let me go. My dad was a fireman.
It was only a couple of wine coolers, officer.
But no, basically, my point is that the cop basically said exactly what Adam said. Just if you know.
Maintain.
I had a couple of wine coolers. Wine coolers.
Listen, sweet areolas. The thing is, isn't it the alcohol that makes you want to drive recklessly?
This is why I love pot and hate the booze for society. Not for myself. I can maintain. But guys that get stoned don't get into fights. They don't drive erratically. They're paranoid. They drive slowly. Maybe they get pulled over for driving too slowly or weaving or whatever.
On the freeway.
Yeah. But you don't get the bravado. The thing about booze is booze makes you not think about consequences. Mm. Whether it's cheating on your wife, whether it's getting into a fight with a guy who could clearly kick your ass.
I was just going to say, that's no wonder. But there was no weed in Bruska's past, but it's no wonder that he and Red Light and Pops used to go out and get in fights all over Brooklyn.
Right, that's what the booze, it's sort of empowering.
Yes.
And so when you're driving and you're high on weed, well, you drive slower than the speed limit. When you're drunk, you drive faster. Speed limit. And yeah, I would say most of the time when a cop pulls you over, it's not for driving drunk. He pulls you over for speeding, for
reckless,
blowing the red lights, for driving recklessly. And then once he comes up on you, he sees the lampshade on your head and lifts it off and sees two X's where your eyes were, and you're clearly blotto. And that's what does it.
I guess Mel had an empty bottle of tequila in the car. I was surprised that was his drink of choice.
Really? Did he had the booze
according
with
to TMZ,
him on the road?
He had the empty tequila bottle in the car. This is according to TMZ website.
Well, we have virtual Mel here.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Virtual Adam could talk to him about this.
Oh, it's gonna burst Brian's head.
I'm not sure if this is going to work, but let's try. Let's hear a little virtual Mel first.
You must have looked so forward to meeting me.
All right.
I'm gay.
That's
as gay as it gets.
But are you blessed?
Yes.
Let's see.
Oh, what can I tell you, buddy? I'm blessed.
Huh. So should we ask Mel a question?
I know what it's like to be a woman.
Yeah. Well, maybe virtual Adam can ask him. You think you could do
Ryan,
that?
You
could
do this. Come on.
Wow, this is plate spinning.
What are you going to do?
Should the baby have...
Crooked cops. Do they come any other way?
Let the baby have his bottle.
Of tequila.
I'm desperate.
If you could keep this going through the 10 o'clock hour.
Come on, you have this.
I like the idea that you can be yourself on the road.
Hold it open!
I guess I had a soft spot for her.
What is going on?
Women, you know, they think about that a lot. I mean, surprisingly, a lot.
Calling all homos!
One more.
Must have looked so-
Not that one.
Old habits die hard, I guess.
There you go. That's a good one to go out on. Listen, we're living in a world where...
He gives himself a plot.
Well, Adam just had the first interview with Mel Gibson since his tragic DUI.
Thank you. Well, look, we're living in a world where you get to do, you know, Howie Long can do a beer commercial with the Duke. He can stand next to John Wayne. Why not virtual Adam?
He's a big boy.
I've spoken enough. Collect all the words and string them together into something amusing. As a matter of fact, don't let poor Brian do it. You people do it in your own heads.
I got hammered.
You've heard me talk enough. Now string it together into something amusing.
I'm gay.
Thank you. All right, let's take a break here before Bruskett drops any more bombshells about oral sex with his buddies back in Brooklyn. I also heard him say something about driving, too, but I tuned out. Take a quick break. We got some Playboy Playmates that are coming in. Also, Yergi, porn producer from Behind the Iron Curtain. All that after this.
866-901-ADAM. 866-901-ADAM. The Adam Carolla Show. The Adam Carolla Show welcomes Yergi, the Steven Spielberg of Romanian porn. the producer of such titles as
Don't Drink Vodka Out of There, 12, Pulsating Prussians, and Hungary for Penis.
Call 866-901-ADAM. Yergi on the Adam Carolla Show.
Andrea Lowell is here from Totally Busted, Playboy TV. You know her from The Surreal Life, so it's Jelena Jensen. Same show. Yergi.
Hey, Adam.
Good to see you, Yergi.
Good to be here.
I know you brought a porn star in as well.
Yes, I did.
Who'd you bring in?
Sunset Thomas.
Sunset Thomas. You're looking to work with her?
Yes, very classy lady. Dynamite lady.
Mm-hmm.
I want to bring her back to Romania. We make great film in Dracul's Castle.
Oh, really? Dracul's Castle. Is that the name of your underpants? Or that's not a bad name. Yeah, like to visit Dracul's Castle?
That's good.
Hop in, like ladies. All right, Yergi, give us 1 second, because these girls are not porn stars here. They're from Playboy.
Why not?
Not everyone's a porn star.
They're models.
They're models.
Know, Adam, the greatest tragedy to me is wasted potential.
And there's a lot of potential with Jelena and Andrea.
Don't
by the way,
baby. We make our own porno. We just don't show it publicly.
Tragic.
Yeah, it is tragic. All right, Yergi, go lube up or something. We'll talk to you in the next segment when you bring Sunset Thomas in. Andrea Lowell from the Surreal Life. She was in here a few months back.
I was.
One of Dave's favorite.
Oh, yeah.
Dave is smitten by Andrea Lowell.
Oh, thank you.
And then there's Jelena Jensen, who is my favorite. From Totally Busted Television. Yeah, watch a show on Playboy all the time.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You like it?
Yeah. Of course.
Good. Well, as long as Adam approves.
It's practical jokes and boobies.
Yeah.
You can't go wrong.
Yeah, how can you go wrong, right?
Yeah, now it seems, as we say in the business, cooked. Seems like a lot of the guys are in on it.
Not.
Never.
Not.
It's so shocking that they actually do the stuff that we try to get them to do. I mean, we've had guys get completely naked.
Yeah.
What's some other stuff?
Well, it's just funny. When I first started on the show, I would get the script, and I'm like, there's no way. No way anyone's going to fall for this. And every single guy, time and again, falls for it. They see boobs and
they'll do anything.
Speaking of boobs, one of the things that attracted me to Jelena, not only her personality, but a solid, natural D cup. No silicone.
It's actually double D.
I was going to say, that's bigger than a D.
No silicone in the room except for what's in the right side of Damashek's sack, right? There's no, everyone's natural except for Damashek's
sack. I don't like to live in the past.
You have a
just move forward.
Nut?
He went with a third. He didn't think two was enough. I told him, Dave, please, it's an obsession. He
went with three. I treated myself. You know what? I deserved it. Shut up and F my a-hole.
All right, Dave, let's stick on the topic here, please. So, I'm going to get to Jelena for a second here. Magnum cum laude. As I like to say, from Chapman University in Orange County.
Yes.
And your hobby is skeet shooting.
Yeah, I don't do it so much anymore, but I grew up shooting here in L.A. I've lived here my whole life.
You used to work at a shotgun range?
I did.
You lived here your whole life?
Yeah.
And I've lived here my whole life, yet you and me and those double Ds have never crossed paths. I find that tragic. I would think between the size of my eyebrow and the size of your boobs, they would have met at some point. The town is not that big.
Hey, you met me now. It's not like you never met me.
Make up for lost time. Lose the shirt.
All right, I'll take the shirt off. But
I was talking more.
I'm sorry, David.
I don't know.
No, they're not coming out today.
Really?
Yeah.
Just a flash for me, perhaps.
One flash.
That's all.
Ooh, okay, listen. I agree.
Her is bigger than my entire breast.
I agree. It's not right to let these guys that aren't such a diehard fans of Totally Busted see your naked bosom. Someone who's watched every episode like myself, you know. These guys are Johnny Come Lately.
Haven't paid our dues.
They haven't paid their dues. But to deny me is unfair.
Adam's paid gallons.
He's watched every episode.
Every episode?
Yes.
Which one's your favorite?
Well, there's the one where there's the volcano.
Yes, Megalore.
Megalore.
That was actually the first day we both ever worked on the show.
Yes, Megalore was one of my favorites. I mean, let's face it, they're all about the same. I leave you my house and say, don't let anything happen to my house. And then next thing you know, they're shooting a porn in my house. And then the huge black guy that's supposed to own the house comes back and he's PO'd and he's going to kick some ass. Oh, I watched them all. I've watched a limo one. I've watched a Megalore one. I've seen them all.
What more do you watch, Alina?
Oh,
yes.
But see, you've already seen me naked.
I know, but
not in person.
Yeah, it's like when you meet a celebrity, you've seen them on the movie screen, but you still want to shake their hand when you see them at a restaurant. You know what I'm saying? I just like to shake hands.
You just want to be a perv.
That's all. Dave, don't look. Brusque it.
Avert your glance.
I told you that's all you get.
Don't look.
Cleavage.
I get it.
They're
I'll
shy.
Tell you, this
They're
is,
very shy.
This is a cold slap in the face with a They're with very. A wet cod. I've been slapped with a fish. This is nothing short of an attack.
How dare you,
Andrea? Take your pants off. It's the only thing that'll make it. Only thing that'll make
she
it better.
She might do it.
No, no, no. I prefer topless nudity as opposed to bottomless.
All right,
We're all right. Picky.
So be it. We cover the window so no one outside the studio can see. So.
That's right. That's right.
That wouldn't bother me regardless.
Jelena, I was thinking about giving out a plug for your website, but I don't know. And how did you get into nude modeling? After being at the top of your class at the university and working at a shotgun range, how'd you get into this nude modeling?
My last 2 years of college, I worked for an online retail site for adult VHS DVD, and I was their marketing manager.
Mm-hmm.
So, I've been around the business for a long time. And anyway, I worked there. I was at all the shows because as marketing manager, I had to run mm-hmm. the booth, and mm-hmm. porn directors were always coming up to me asking me to do movies. I didn't want to do them, so...
Mm. Perhaps Yogi will convince you.
I don't know about that one. And so eventually someone just told me, hey, you should just do new modeling. You don't have to have sex with anyone. So I planned on doing it just for a little while. And then I got all this work and it
turned
blew up
a
and
career.
I had to, yeah.
And what about actually, same for you, Andrea, what about crossing over into the adult films?
I'm pretty sure, pretty confident that me and Jelena will never go.
Never do?
No,
never?
Yeah.
Get out. Both of you. Never going to do it because there's nothing better than when you've admired, whether you went to high school with her or you've just been watching her progress online for a while. We've been into someone as a sort of civilian for a while and then pow, turns out they did one of these movies. There's nothing better as a male viewer. Yes.
It's exactly right. And this is what we've talked about in the past.
Mm-hmm.
Both of these women don't really want to do it. They'd be reluctant participants.
Like, yes.
I don't know if this is right to do.
It's better.
I don't feel right about this. That's even better.
It is. And it's more tantalizing.
We don't want you to want to be in it that much.
Right.
There's something wrong with you if this is your fantasy to be in some adult picture. But if you have to be convinced through words, not through physical, you know.
Right.
What's the idea that they're just sweet girls, but they just couldn't pay the rent that month?
Mm-hmm.
So they had to do it.
That's perfect.
I'd rather like sell my plasma.
I like that.
You really would, but yet you willingly get naked in front of the camera.
I love nudity. I think mm-hmm. exhibitionism is...
Prove it.
Well,
lose the shirt.
Because I don't feel free until I'm either dancing or nude or both.
Well.
All right, come on, a quick winger.
What does that mean? A flash.
Thank you. Thanks for cutting through that.
Can I remove the bra first so there's no like...
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh.
And Jelena, what are you, an accountant? Come on, baby.
Adam, the shirt's about to come up.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, thank you. Thank you. Look at Big Pad's pathetic head through the window over there.
I missed it. That's Hang on, fantastic. Let me turn it.
Sandra really is gorgeous and could be a mainstream actress with her looks.
She could.
And charm.
Yeah.
Thank you.
But I believe she has a brain tumor because when Tad came into the room 10 minutes ago, she hugged him and said she'd missed him. So I believe she needs a CAT scan at this point. And then we said, why are you talking to this mass of humanity known as Tad? And she said, he's easy to talk to.
We got Poison in common, okay? We love the band Poison.
Yeah, you're radio poison. That's what you have in common.
Lose weight. Get out of mom's house.
Every rose has its thorn.
I got to say this. If someone ever labels me as easy to talk to or a cute personality, I will kill myself.
I'll take anything I can get right now.
All right. Well, you just got some boobies.
Thank you.
Jelena, come on, baby doll. What? I can't believe how tight you are.
I have a guess about Jelena, just from her body type, that she was developed early, like maybe in third or fourth grade.
Mm-hmm. I've looked exactly the same since I was 14.
See?
Same height, same boobs, everything.
Slow down. How old are you now? 16?
Almost 25.
Wow. All
right. Getting old.
Well, come over here. Let me see your boobies, and then we'll take a break. Because like I said, these other guys haven't earned it. They don't deserve it. They're not fans. Again, would you like to quiz me on Totally Busted? I've seen them all, from the Ron Jeremy a cameo. That's every other episode. To how about
he actually got to touch my boobs.
He did.
Yeah, and Adam can't even
so
see.
So sad. So sad. He was paid to touch your boobs, whereas I would pay you. See,
all right,
there's
the
twist. No, listen.
Hooters gift certificate.
Yeah, we'll send Rusty to the ATM.
That scumbag got to grope you. You can't show a single bosom.
I showed cleavage.
Shame.
How right. dare you?
See, that's how I keep Adam coming back for more.
Now.
Your friend did it.
No, I've now.
Well, my friend's done a lot of things that I don't do.
Like what?
Oh, we can't even say.
She has stories.
Totally Busted season premiere is this Saturday, 10 o'clock on Playboy TV. But they rerun it all the time,
all
right?
Yeah.
Okay, we need to take ourselves a break. Yergi is coming in here with Sunset Thomas. She's a real porn lady.
She definitely is.
Not like you uptight.
And they were
prudently.
You used to have to say teats, sweet teats.
Yes.
By the way, I just recognize where I know Sunset Thomas. Isn't she on that Cat House show on HBO?
Yes.
I'm a big fan of hers.
Sure. She is on Cat House.
I love that show.
Yergi's going to come in. Maybe he'll convince you guys to cross over into what we call real theatrical filmmaking. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back after this.
866-901-ADAM. 866-901-ADAM. The Adam Carolla Show. Here's what's coming up tomorrow morning on The Adam Carolla Show with program director Jack Silver.
What up, suckers? It's your homeboy, Jack Silver. We got a hell of a show for you tomorrow. Playboys, girls next door. Fantastic, a whole set of boobs. We got Sean White, the Flying Tomato. No idea who that is. Homie, don't play that, bro. And also my old buddy, the Def Frat Guy. I give it 4 potato gun blasts. Hey!
Thanks, Jack. Call 866-901-ADAM. Here's Adam on The Adam Carolla Show.
Well, all right, let's reset. We have Jelena Jensen, or as I know her, Prudy, the ice queen. So uptight. And Andrea Lowell. Here's the thing. Let me just be honest with you, Jelena. Here's why I need to see your boobies.
Why?
Because it's the fifth time I've asked, and I'm going to be punished when I get home one way or the other. Do you know what I mean? It's one thing to go out and have some fun and then get punished. It's another thing to just go out in the driveway and sleep in your car and masturbate and come home and get punished. You know what I mean? I want to have some fun if I'm going to get punished.
I'll be punished for a crime anyway.
Yeah, I'll be punished for asking to see the boobies the same way as I would if I saw the boobies. You see what I'm saying?
Lose.
Yeah, right now it's definitely lose-lose.
Well, then what do I get to see?
First off, you get to see your own beautiful boobies.
I see them all the time.
Well, how about the delighted look on my face as I see
That's
your
good.
Boobies, huh? You know, they do that. They do that thing all the time where I go, you know, the look in a young child's face when he first sees it. You know what I mean? Look at this as Make-A-Wish.
Yes. You're
like
not
the baby
dying.
Bottle.
Made with the boobs.
He's not dying, but he's dying to see your boobs.
Yeah, and like I said, you will get to look at my face as I look at those boobies.
Are you going to get a picture of
this? No, don't take any pictures.
No photos.
In fact,
get out.
No photos. Thank you. Yergi, you've never seen a woman naked before.
It's going to be
Big
quick.
Big moment for Yergi.
Quick is fine.
All right, well, I'm trying to focus now, so I can't see.
Focused.
You know, we got the computer screen in there.
You might have to stand up a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Look at her. She's all...
Yeah. I look at Andrew wants to do it. There we go. Yeah. Thank you.
Wow.
Now you better
play
my
side. Well, not because of the boots, but because of the look on Adam Carolla's face.
Yes.
I have it's like a beautiful child.
Yes, the look in the children's faces when they see the boobies.
That's
making it all worthwhile.
Adam, your wang is right in my knee, please.
Jelena Jensen, God love you. Oh, let me give you a plug. JelenaJensen.com.
Why, thank you, Adam.
That's where you go.
Adam, what am I, chopped liver?
Andrea Lowell.
I forget.
You're both
pretty. I forget what you look like
you're
when your
pretty.
Shirt's not on. Why don't you show us again and remind us?
Playboy Television.
Yeah, I haven't gotten to see him yet.
Totally
One
busted.
More. There we
One
go.
More.
Yay!
Yeah,
I did a little bounce.
She's like,
yeah, she's
like
got
that.
A little bounce going on.
Fantastic.
All right. And now, as promised, Yergi. Yergi is he's a businessman from Romania.
I'm a businessman.
He dabbles in the adult film industry. He's brought in Sunset Thomas from the Cat House TV show.
Hey.
We're all big fans of. Yergi, first off... Do you have any new movies, any new product that's out?
Let's get down to business, Adam.
You're a businessman.
Yes, I'm a businessman. I got to move product, move units. Mm-hmm. Let me remind you also that...
My unit moved, by the way, when I saw those boobies.
It is not such easy task to come up with witty, consistently witty and clever pun, you know, right. sex puns for these titles.
Yeah, I know. It's tough because there's only so many Saving Private Ryan's privates. There's only so many of those jewels.
And when we hit the bullseye, mm-hmm. we feel deep down satisfaction.
Sure.
You know, after a full day of straining intellectual effort.
Sure.
And English isn't even your first language, Jurgi.
So. Okay, so just with that said... mm-hmm. You cut Jurgi break if some of these don't hit bullseye.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
Let's hear.
Okay, well, the first one is a brand new series. This is the first title in the series. Mm-hmm. It's Black Sea Bitches 12.
Okay.
Yeah, I would watch
that.
Title.
Okay.
Okay, and this one I'm very proud of. It's sort of a period piece for Soviet Union era. Mm-hmm. Okay. Breadline Butt Bunnies.
Sure.
Yes. We also got Krakow Crackos.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it's good. It's sort of alliteration.
And a very classy costume epic for World War I theme, Trench Warfare. Okay, it's like Saving Private Ryan, but with anal.
Right. Oh, I see.
Okay.
Another one, same budget, same thing. Huh?
And now, last one. Now, branching out, little bestiality pick, okay? Mm-hmm. And this one features great climactic one.
All movies should end that way, by the way.
Title of this one, Beef Stroganoff.
Oh, yeah, I get it.
Beef Stroganoff.
Are you serious?
It's a solid stuff.
Yeah. I'm serious.
Bestiality, is that popular in Romania?
Well, I'm trying to introduce, you know. I mean, it is, but not in film so much. Mainly just in real life.
Good to know.
Do you watch Totally Busted? Do you watch it, Chill and Playboy?
Love it.
I enjoy it too.
Haven't seen it yet.
But you love the idea.
But love the idea.
And the girls are just beautiful. I'd love to make a movie with me.
Fantastic.
Thank you, Sunset.
I know, Sunset.
Thank you.
I'm telling you, before this session is done, I want to see three of you in hot three-way action. I will not be.
Is that me, Brian, and Dave? Or
Yes. Yes. All right. I had an idea for their show.
I'd like to hear some of those.
Okay, so this one, hidden camera prank, right? Okay. And you stumble around pretending to be blind. Okay? And then you trip over an ottoman like Dick Van Dyke.
That's good stuff. Yeah.
Very funny.
Yes, just explain it, because we got beeped out. You would be blinded by the man's passion.
Yes.
Right, a lot of guys. Thomas Dolby was blinded by science.
Right.
You would be blinded by Jurgi's passion, and then you stumble around aimlessly. That's good. That's funny.
Another one. This one, kind of oldie but goodie. Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay, man having sex with you, right? Then he smash vodka bottle on back of woman's head. Huh? I mean, it's cliche.
Oh, that's it.
No, it's funny.
But where's the
vodka bottle? Where's the prank?
Is there a twist?
It's oldie but goodie.
It's tradition. It's like it's your version of a knock knock joke.
Yeah.
I see.
Yeah.
That's a cultural thing. We have knock knock jokes. They have sex from behind and then hit the chick with a Smirnoff bottle. Okay. You have any other ideas, Jurgi? So far, I think the first one is your best.
Yeah. Well, you know. I thought the other one was like, you play prank on me. You have great hot sex with me. I just pretend to be surprised. I don't know.
That's as far as you got with that one.
It's
like you girls get naked, you jump on Jurgi.
Yeah.
You have sex with him, and what is he to do?
I'm like, oh my goodness, look at this. What's happening?
Yeah, that's funny.
What's happening to me? Help!
And action.
Help. All right, now you brought in Sunset Thomas with you.
Dynamite lady.
She's a class act.
Thank you, honey.
She's beautiful. She's blonde. And she's a courageous actress. She takes her role seriously enough to actually go all the way in front of the camera.
I like it all, baby.
Yeah. You're going to take... you just met Jurgi, right?
Mm-hmm. Just met him.
He's a businessman. He has a lot of connections in the former Soviet Union. He could open up some doors.
I could, you know, because, you know, your cat house show is great. Mm-hmm. It's fantastic. Mm-hmm. I love this show. And you know that I thought the only problem with show is the time slot. It's late night, because in Romania, this could make great kids' show.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know what, Adam? In fact, it already is big hit kid show.
Really? Yeah, Cat House?
In Romania.
The kids aren't actually watching it.
I just got the ratings from Bucharest, and it just knows the head of Blue's Clues.
I guess it's a different culture over there.
It really is, you know, because let's be honest, it's not like big deal. Like here, Reno has a real Cat House. Big deal.
Right.
In Romania, is like Dunkin' Donuts. I mean,
every corner.
Every corner.
That's why I want to go over there. They're somewhere open-minded.
Yeah, you could take Sunset over there and really make a fortune with her, Jurgi.
I'm going to do it.
Now, Jurgi, what about these two?
These two are very classy ladies.
I would like to bring them with me.
You know, I have to say, almost too classy for Jurgi.
Oh, really?
We might just agree.
It's like different level. In Romania, it confuses me.
Mm-hmm.
Because in America, it's like there's different levels of sex business, okay?
Yeah, you have your strippers, you have your topless, and then your bottomless bars, and the girls who do bachelor parties, and the porn, and softcore porn, and hardcore porn. There's a lot of different levels, I agree.
I don't know. And so these girls, very beautiful, by the way, and they're showing boobies
on
television,
but
it's not porno. They don't do the...
Have you guys ever thought about wanting to do porno?
No, not really.
Yeah. Do you all like sex, though? Do you love sex?
Yeah, I pretty much get it every day, so...
Well, let's do the math. You love sex, and you like being in front of the camera. So you take your two great loves, like that Reese's Peanut Butter Cup commercial.
Two great tastes. The great together.
It's a penis going into the peanut butter jar. You just...
Oops, my
it's
penis.
It's nothing like a camera being in front of you when you're having sex. It's awesome.
Really?
Such a great
and you like
I
money,
it.
Right?
It turns
it's
me
really
on.
It's
and
it's,
you make more money.
Yes. Look,
exactly.
Look at Sunset. She's landed on her feet.
I'd do them right now.
Well,
that's
Sunset,
great
if,
idea.
If you want to make a private movie,
your peanut butter is all over
thrill.
My penis.
No, it's not the same. No, it's eternal knowing that so many people are going to actually see it and watch it.
Plus, you can't really get back at stepdad if you're just showing the boobies. This is the way to
and
really pay that old
some,
son of a bitch back.
Viva Strip with me right now.
Oh,
which
yeah.
Is a sex enhancer.
Yeah, how does that
you
work, Sunset?
It.
Let's
all
give you
natural. It's Yohimi. It's a bark. And what it is a
is
little
it topical?
Strip. It's all natural. It won't hurt
what do you
but
do
actually,
with it?
It's got a vodka taste in it.
It tastes like vodka.
Oh.
Fantastic.
You make out with Jurgi, you get a nice buzz, too.
Yeah.
Is it for women
it's
or
like
men?
Vodka. It's like vodka.
It's for women and men, for both.
What do you do with it?
Okay, it's a little strip, and you put it on top of your mouth, and just let it melt. In a couple minutes, you start feeling a tingling sensation.
And when do you masturbate?
I don't
understand.
Need to masturbate.
Oh, I see. You then use it.
Use it. Or you can actually take it, put it in your mouth, melt, and then like put it on a girl's.
Mm-hmm.
Little private little areas and things like that, and it will actually enhance her as well, or on a male, if he doesn't want to take
it. And where do you get this, Sunset?
You can actually go to vivastrip.com off the web.
All natural. All right. We need to take a break. Jurgi?
Yes.
Best of luck to you, brother.
Thank you, Adam.
You're doing God's work.
Well, I try.
Businessman. Look, give the girls your card. Who knows?
Who knows? They might end up shooting a movie.
They may have a change of heart 50 years from now.
Listen.
I don't know. I think I was pretty turned off by the bestiality.
Really?
Well, you don't have
to beef stroganoff?
Again, it's a cultural thing, and who are we to judge?
Adam, this is a tough crowd, though, I got to say. I mean, right now I feel like Mel Gibson at a bar mitzvah.
JelenaJensen.com is where you go if you want to see pictures of the beautiful boobies. Totally Busted, Playboy TV. Big premiere Saturday, 10 o'clock. I've already set the TiVo. I don't even set the TiVo. I just yell at it, totally busted, and the TiVo gives me one of these, makes a little fist, and goes, got you, partner. Knows what I mean. Andrea Lowell, good luck to you.
Thank you.
Getting busted, and we'll be looking for you on a new super season of Surreal Life.
Yeah, in September.
All-star version.
All-star cast.
I will be watching the hell out of that.
All-star drama.
All right, Sunset Thomas, thank you, and enjoy your flight to
Ukraine.
Thank
you so much.
Take a quick break. News. What's in the news when we come back, Dee?
Well, I don't know if you've heard this, but Mel Gibson was pulled over for drunk driving.
I've not heard.
And he hates the Jews.
Wow.
We'll have more about that and some stuff you probably haven't heard elsewhere. Also, Castro out of power, and what is the best car brand according to Business Week?
All that after this.
866-901-ADAM. 866-901-ADAM. The Adam Carolla Show. Pro wrestler Diamond Dallas Page with some inspirational advice for the cast of The Adam Carolla Show.
Hey, Teresa, listen, babe. This is Diamond Dallas Page, and I know Dave is pulling you down, but what you have to realize is that Dave's not pulling you down. You are pulling you down. No one can do more damage to you than you, baby. So pick it up. Take that really big, deep breath of fresh air, and then you're going to realize that you control your own destiny. You own it, honey. Now get back in there with Dave.
Call 866-901-ADAM. Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Teresa's never felt better. Dave's never felt worse. Teresa, you ready to go with the news,
yes,
girl?
Yes, I am.
Well, here it is.
Well, diplomats in the Middle East are trying to figure out a resolution to the crisis over there. Meanwhile, Condoleezza Rice has been back and forth. She's now back in D.C. Adam, you mentioned that a black woman is probably the last person that they want to see in the Middle East. Well, a Palestinian newspaper ran a cartoon of our Secretary of State, Condoleezza Rice. And in the cartoon, she's pregnant, but pregnant not with a child, but with a monkey. Here is the editor. This is actually not a bit. This is actual audio of the editor explaining how the cartoon of her pregnant with a monkey is, in fact, not racist.
The monkey part is a premature birth for something that is not acceptable. It's rejected. Uh-huh. And it's not feasible to do, and it's destructive. This is a metaphor. If you look at the caricature itself, the monkey is not even black. Mm. So what we're talking about, this is not a racist cartoon.
Yeah. Here's my thing I've learned from apologizing for many racist remarks. Keep it to under 10 minutes. Eventually, it sounds like you didn't mean what you said. Any kind of apology. If you hit someone with a softball bat or you draw a monkey cartoon of them, either way, you just go, ah, nah, come on. Nothing could be further from the truth. I was just having a good time.
So
but you keep going and keep going, right, and keep going. Worse. It really, really seems like you're lying at a certain point.
Well, over in Cuba, Fidel Castro underwent surgery to repair what's being called a sharp intestinal crisis. His brother, Raul Castro, is Cuba's defense minister. He's taken over the presidency, which seems odd. If you weren't here, would your brother just come in and run our show?
Yeah, I have my sister. I don't have a brother. I have my sister, Lauren, would come in and she'd do all the jokes. Yeah, that's how you know you're in a banana republic. When you step aside, you just let the guy you're in the crib next to when you're born, he'll take over. No problem.
Well, in entertainment news, obviously.
It'd be nice if he died, wouldn't it?
The Fidel Castro?
Yeah. And his brother.
Both of them?
Yes. Be good. They'll be dancing in the streets of Little Havana.
Well, they certainly were dancing last night if you saw any footage of that. You've never seen happier Cubans.
Well, it's a bad sign whenever you have anything, whether it's a restaurant, an amusement park, or a country, and people are risking their lives trying to escape in truck inner tubes. That's a bad sign. When people think, look, by the way, 90 miles is, decent amount of ground to cover on a motorcycle or moped. It's a marathon when you're in an inner tube and you're out in the open sea. When people decide, I'll just go ahead and string some coffee cans together on a tuna net, dive into it, and see if I can float to safety, that's a bad sign as a country.
Yes, safe to say any country that you would be willing to leave in an inner tube is maybe not.
Yes.
Is troubled.
Yes.
Okay, well, as anyone knows on planet Earth, Mel Gibson pulled over for driving drunk and talking about the effing Jews. And then he turned to the cop and he said that Jews are responsible for all the wars in the world. Are you a Jew? He said this to that was virtual Mel Gibson. He said this to the deputy who pulled him over, a guy named James Mee. And according to TMZ.com, an entertainment website, it turns out he asked the guy, are you a Jew? And he is indeed a Jew.
That's why I always pull the cop's hat off to see if I see the yarmulke before I ask.
Or
that's my
horns.
Move. Excuse me. Or the horns. Excuse me, officer. I lift the hat slowly. I look for either the horns, the yarmulke, or both. I'll slowly put it back down. And then I launch into my anti-Semitic tirade. Or not. Or not. I like the double.
In another shocker, ABC no longer pursuing the Holocaust miniseries helmed by Mel Gibson. Mm.
Dukakis. They don't feel that's a good idea.
Talk about coincidence, too. Now, they didn't mention anything about the anti-Semitic part. They just said they've been waiting 2 years for a script and they haven't received it. I'm sure they had a plan for the last 6 months to announce that today.
Well, Lindsay Lohan, her boss, fired off an angry letter. Lindsay Lohan starring in a movie called Georgia Rule, and allegedly...
I already hate it. I already hate that title.
Why? What's wrong with it?
I don't know. When I hear... First off, when I hear, like, Sweet Home Alabama and stuff, when I hear about town names, I'm angry. I don't know why. I don't like the title already.
Well, her boss...
If her name is Georgia and we go by her rules or whatever, yes, then I'm really PO'd.
I have a bad feeling that is the case. Me I don't too. Know for sure, but I think you've just described the plot. Anyway, the producer fired off an angry letter calling Lohan a spoiled child and complaining about her all-night partying. Well, meanwhile, since she got the letter, reports are that she's shown up on time, etc. But her mom, Dina Lohan, went on Access Hollywood to defend her daughter. Here's what she had to say about why Lindsay's late to work.
Is there any truth to these complaints? I mean, there's lots of complaints about behavior and about partying and all that stuff.
Lindsay gets there late to work. I mean, okay. I mean, she's a human being, you know. She got, you know, there was a day where she was a little bit late.
Yeah, one day she was a little bit late. I like the way people evolve the story as they talk. She shows up late to work. She gets there late. One time. Oh, a little bit. Why don't you just go for never? Just build the time machine, and that way it'll be never. She's late frequently. Not one time, not a little bit. She sickens me when moms stick up for their kids.
Oh, how about this?
Sickens me.
Dina stuck up even more for Lindsay.
Really?
About why. Why is Lindsay sick sometimes on set?
Is there some truth, you know, going in for exhaustion that she's been in before, is there some truth to it?
105 degrees, calling me, mommy, I'm going to faint. No one's giving me water. I really feel sick.
No one's giving her water.
That's how it is. If you guys have not been on the set of a major theatrical release, there's no agua to be found. It is dry. I used to pack my own water when I went on. I'd have a Boda bag so I could moisten my lips before we did a scene. Yeah, it's 105 degrees. You're the star of the goddamn movie. It's a huge budget. Big extravaganza. You can't get... Nope, it's no bottled water. Yeah. Sorry, sweetie.
She has a double-wide trailer, but no water.
Dave, do you ever call your mom? Mommy, no peanut butter.
Mommy, they won't give me water.
Program director Jack Silver won't feed me at
We're
work.
So hungry. Okay, also, Dina.
Wait a minute.
Yes.
How come, and maybe this is why I never get to talk to any of these people, but how come the monkeys that interview these people, not the one that's drawn in Condoleezza Rice's womb, but the ones that interview them go, wait a minute, she called and said they won't give her water? What does that mean?
He didn't have a follow-up question that seems obvious, like, why wouldn't there be water on a huge movie set in Hollywood?
Right.
Okay, well, Dina, this is going to disgust you even more. She defends Lindsay Lohan, and she's angry at the boss for writing the letter.
James Robinson, the CEO of the company behind Georgia Rule, the film Lindsay is now shooting in L.A. He sent Lindsay a scathing written reprimand, saying, quote, "Your actions on Georgia Rule have been discourteous, irresponsible, and unprofessional. You have acted like a spoiled child."
That's sort of an unprecedented blast. What do you do now?
Maybe he's got personal issues with whomever in his life, and it just came out with my child, and it was just not a smart thing, I don't think, to do to a young girl.
Yeah, it's a long-standing issue with a stepchild that dates back to the 70s. He decided to take it out on Lindsay Lohan.
Well, maybe the stepchild looks like Lindsay Lohan.
I have had such an impacted ass full of this in our society. I don't know why it drives me insane, but Big Tad shows up late, thus we yell at him for showing up late. Brian does not show up late, and we don't. Now, Big Tad shouldn't think we're yelling at him because we spun some goddamn cosmic wheel and his name landed on it, or because we have issues, but we're transferring it to Big Tad. You show up late. That's why you get yelled at. You go out and party. You get dehydrated. You get exhausted. You show up late or not at all. You hold up things. You cost people money, and thus they yell at you. It's not for no good reason. I just love this idea that there's personal vendettas. Yes, he has a personal vendetta against Lindsay Lohan. That's why he hired her to make his movie. And what's in it for him? They shut down production. She walks off. He loses millions of dollars. It goes, you know, court, legal battles, court cases. Of course, it's in his best interest that she show up and do her damn job. Please.
Hey, you mentioned Fat Tad.
By the way, saying all that, I like her as my mother now.
Dave,
I would, like to say that Fat Tad is going to be performing tonight at the Knitting Factory in Hollywood with Pearl Jam cover band Dirty Frank. And so you might want to, it might be cool to check
it out.
Thank
you for
that
breaking bulletin.
Well, Fat Tad's emailing me to make sure I make mention of
this. I just want people to show up. I just want people to show up for this
tribute
band.
How many people are going
to
be able to fit in there once you're in?
It's a good two. Point. It could be a 99-seater, Tad.
In fairness to Tad also, he's been on time the last 2 or 3 days.
All right, Tad.
I've been on time for the past month.
Yes, I'm just kidding. Thank
you. Winning streak, baby.
Quickly, Business Week magazine has come out with a list of the most powerful car brands. This is a ranking based on recognition, quality, emotions evoked, and how well the brand is managed. So it's not the best car. It's the best car brand.
I mean, what you think of when you hear the brand name.
Yes. Coming in at number 3, BMW. Number 2, Mercedes-Benz. And the number 1 car brand, according to Business Week, Toyota.
Yeah.
Now, one odd oddity about this is that Hyundai finished 8th, beating out Porsche at 9.
Wow.
I don't know how that happened.
Wow. Krauts got to kill themselves now. Beat out by Hyundai.
That's it. I'm Teresa Strasser.
Build an oven
and
jump in it.
It's time for Dave Damashek's number one sports. Number one sports. Do it, Dave.
Maybe we can get Fat Tad in here to do some rehearsing or something like that before he goes on. Acapella, even. Hey, did you notice that the change in the calendar? What a difference a day makes. Yesterday was July 31st. NFL season seemed like the house up on the hill that we were never going to get to live in. Today, it's August 1st. It's like they're our next door neighbor now. We can go over anytime now.
Take a dip.
Soon enough, it will begin. In the meantime, though, we have to keep talking about baseball. Much to Corolla's chagrin, Dodgers made some trades to try and better their
say is in the middle of football season, no one's ever licking their chops going, when is baseball going to start already? No, you want it to go on forever. That's how you know it's a superior sport.
All right, man who's gone on forever, Greg Maddux, future Hall of Famer, been in the big leagues for a long time. Dynamite pitcher, but is he really the remedy to turn things around for the Dodgers? This reporter doubts it. That's going to be my new thing.
I like it.
This reporter is going to shine a light on the world of sports, and sometimes they might not like what it reveals.
Oh, it's good. And I like it because after we fire you, we'll get to keep it. The next guy can say it, too.
That's right. It's generic.
It has your name out of it. It's good.
Bums also got Julio Lugo.
Lugo!
Wonderful, wonderful name. Still not a Hiram Boca Chica, but still a very nice name. And he adds a little more pop to the lineup from the old shortstop, Cesar Asturias. Big A was the scene and will be tonight and tomorrow as well for the A's and the Angels. Battle for the AL West. A's won that one last night. Senior Circuit, Gigantics have lost 8 in a row. Brusque is telling me don't give any more scores. We haven't the time nor the inclination to hear them.
We have things to get to.
This
reporter does not care for that attitude, Brusque.
Damashek's number one sports.
Yeah, we got, first off, a little follow-up to something that was said, I think, in the 7 or 8 o'clock hour. Somebody said, if you listen to the Passion of the Christ, when he's being whipped, when Christ is being whipped, about the 10th whip, you can hear him say, F the Jews. So we've isolated that. Oh. So we're going to find out whether you can hear that or not. And ironically, if you can hear it, then you guys won't be able to hear it, right? Or if we figure that one out,
Well, we'll explain.
Okay. Mm. Also, we have the founder of the Simon Wiesenthal Center, Marvin Heyer, is going to call up and explain to us how his folks and his ilk are taking this whole Mel Gibson thing. So we'll get to that after this.
It's okay to like it. It's okay to like it.
The Adam Carolla Show. Pro wrestler Diamond Dallas Page with some inspirational advice for the cast of The Adam Carolla Show.
Dave, this is your buddy Diamond Dallas Page. Come on, bro. You can't keep, like, letting every little thing bother you so you blow a bit. Who gives a damn? It's over. You're only as good as your next bit. You control your own destiny. You have all the determination, drive, and passion that you decide. You can do it, Dave. I'm with it, bro. That's DDP telling you to make everyone around you feel the bang.
Call 866-901-ADAM. Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Dave told me during the break, he said BFD to DDT. You're blowing bits. Bruska's blowing red lights.
Like hell, DDP's my main man right next to C. Thomas Howe.
Right, right.
Like DMZ.
All right, so a little controversy before we bring Rabbi Marvin Heyer on the line. Somebody called in earlier and said that if you listen to The Passion of the Christ, there's a point where you can hear one of the Romans who's beating on Christ, whipping him, say, F the Jews. And we've isolated it. I've not heard it. No one in the room has heard it yet. So we're going to figure out whether you can hear this or not. Now, I don't know how much pad there is at the top, Brusket. Have you heard it?
It's a tight clip. I mean, it gets right to it.
So it's right to it.
This is the actual thing.
We also should say that this movie is in Aramaic, Latin, and Hebrew, so they are not speaking in English.
Right. Thankfully, I'm fluent in all of those.
So. Good.
Being from North Hollywood, of course.
Here we go.
I heard the F-Jews.
F-Jews.
Should we hear it again?
Let's hear it again.
All right.
I heard it that time.
F-Jews.
Well, I definitely got the Jews part. In the beginning could have been. Could have been some. That's what it sounds like when I make love, by
sounds
the way.
Sounds like you're really? Saying her shoes.
Marvin Heyer is in Israel. Is that true, Rabbi?
That's true.
Wow.
Coming from Kiryat Shmona, where Israel is returning the fire to Hezbollah.
Yes. You obviously agree with them finishing what they started a few weeks ago.
I believe that they'd be crazy to allow their border to be controlled by Hezbollah with thousands of rockets, a terrorist organization. I do not know a single country in the world that would allow a terrorist organization to have 13,000 rockets aimed at that country without responding.
Well, I believe Mexico would. I just think they'd be drunk and wouldn't notice. Well, that's all that action. Don't worry about it. Let's have a shot. All right, so we're talking about Mel Gibson all morning.
Right.
You're the founder of the Simon Wiesenthal Center, right?
That's correct.
And also the Museum of Tolerance out here in Los Angeles, I guess. What's your official position on what Mel Gibson said?
Oh, it was anti-Semitic. I'm the one who called for Disney and ABC to discontinue the miniseries on the Holocaust immediately because it would be inappropriate, in the same way that you wouldn't have a person who is a member of the KKK direct or produce a film about the African-American experience.
Right.
It would be ridiculous for Mel Gibson to direct and produce a film about the Holocaust. And I'm happy that ABC and Disney announced they're not going forward with the project.
How about other projects? Will you be organizing boycotts?
Other projects? No, not at all. That's not my style. Let me tell you something. Before the controversy over the last film, The Passion, I happen to like some of Mel Gibson's films.
You like Bird on a Wire?
I'm a member of the Academy, and in one case, I voted for one of his films. I have no issues with Mel Gibson before The Passion.
Okay, but now you would like his head to grow in the ground like an onion.
That is a Yiddish curse.
I wouldn't treat it bad. I'd say as follows. Mel Gibson,
yes.
The statements that he made when he was arrested were the words of an anti-Semite and a bigot.
Mm-hmm.
Very specifically.
Mm-hmm.
And he had to do something about that. I read apology today is the new statement that he issued today.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say that anti-Semitism doesn't come, it's not born in a day, and it's not cured in a day.
Yes.
Like drug and substance abuse and alcoholism, it's a long process.
That's right.
If you engage in that process, then rehabilitation is, of course, possible, without any doubts.
Right. Okay. Hey, Marvin, we're running late today. Can we speak to you tomorrow as well?
Yes, I'd be in Israel. You have to call the same phone.
What is Israel? 818?
No, Israel's not. If it was 818, it would be a lot cheaper.
Okay. All right, thank you. Rabbi Marvin Heyer, calling from Israel. I like having a correspondent in Israel in general.
Yeah, that's cool. Middle East correspondent.
Weird that this is his concern with what's going on in Israel.
Well, he's obviously concerned about the war there as well, I think.
Well, right now, I think he's thinking Mel Gibson's teeth should fall out. And in their place, hair should grow.
How do you know Yiddish curses? It's scary.
I had a Jewish grandpa.
These are good.
Hungarian, old world Jew.
I haven't heard that in years.
Oh, he'd yell that at the chick behind the counter at the deli section of the Lucky's Market in North Hollywood every day. Humiliating. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back after this.
I just need to blame somebody. And for me, it's going to be Adam Carolla.
The Adam Carolla Show. Pro wrestler Diamond Dallas Page with some inspirational advice for the cast of The Adam Carolla Show.
Bruska, my brother, it's Diamond Dallas Page. You know, when I've been searching and I've been racking my head off the wall, I don't think anything can help you, man. There is no amount of yoga that can help you get your head out of your ass.
Call 866-901-ADAM. Now back to The Adam Carolla Show.
Right. Call us and speak to Frosty, Heidi, and Frank. Because that is the end of the show. We thank P-Rod for coming in. Got the X Games coming up on Thursday, ESPN, Sunset Thomas, sunsetslife.com. Geez, I wonder if you punch on how many people go to the Sunset, that gardening magazine, looking for that and find her on top of some mule. Andrea Lowell, AndrewLowell.com, Jelena Jensen, totally busted, everybody. Playboy TV. Tad's going to be at the Knitting Factory. He's playing with Dirty Frank. 9:30. Don't go see that. I'm using reverse psychology. Girls Next Door from Playboy. Sean White. Gold medalist tomorrow. Deaf Frat Guys. Well, also my twins. Until next time, it's Adam Carolla saying mahalo.